Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
For bed and you're done. Night Skin is convenient, affordable, and best of all, risk-free by dialing 1-800-488-8417. Dial 1-800-488-8417. That number again, 1-800-488-8417.
Hi, this is Hal, and you're listening to KRXA 540. Just wanted to let you know about some of our recent schedule changes. First of all, we are playing basketball from Cal State Monterey Bay and Cal Berkeley this year. So if your favorite program is interrupted, we apologize, but you can catch all of our talk shows in full on the internet at their regularly scheduled times at KRXA540.com. In addition, we are now playing Ed Schultz live from 10 to noon. We play the first hour of Ed 8 to 9 p.m., and we play the entire Tom Hartman show 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday, with the exception of Thursday, when we start Tom Hartman's show at 11 in the evening and run it through 2 in the morning. Thank you so much for listening to KRXA 540 and on the internet at KRXA540.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. President Obama is expected to announce plans to pull most U.S. troops out of Iraq by August of 2010. 142,000 there now. The pullout could leave a fairly substantial number in place. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
Roughly between 30 to 50,000 troops staying in Iraq once the bulk of U.S. forces have withdrawn. These would be advisors to work with Iraqi forces, as well as logistics, air support, medevac, intelligence, and the like.
The president makes a bigger speech tonight to Congress and the nation about the economy, part pep talk, part State of the Union, part planning for the future, near and longer term.
Well, there's no doubt that he has to strike a balance tonight. I think he is hopeful that we can work our way out of the morass we're in, but he also needs to be very direct with the American people about what that's going to entail.
White House advisor David Axelrod talking to Katie Couric for tonight's CBS Evening News. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said today recovery could come next year and recession could end late this year, provided the banking industry is propped up and starts loaning money again as per usual. The Dow was up 236 points on that. The Nasdaq gained 54. CBS's Alexis Christophorus on some other reasons.
We had big losses for the stock market in the past six sessions. We had the major indexes at 12-year lows. So it's no surprise to see people jumping in here and buying stocks at bargain basement prices.
You don't think much of the economy, do you? The Conference Board says American confidence is at its lowest ebb since the 60s when they started measuring. How about $69 for a flight Atlanta to Boston, Chicago to Sarasota for $79?
I'm Peter King. Travelers who thought they'd be out of luck for a summer vacation have just gotten a reprieve.
This is the first major sale we've had for summertime.
Tom Parsons at bestfares.com. After Orlando-based AirTran announced an airfare sale for all destinations through the fall.
They're trying to give people more opportunities to fly on the cheap, and it's going to force every legacy airlines to match those airfares.
And all the major airlines are now matching the AirTran deals. Now, this is really something to hear from a hero like Sully, the pilot who landed the U.S. Airways jet full of people on the Hudson River. Chesley Sullenberger told a House subcommittee today, flying big iron isn't like it used to be.
I do not know a single professional airline pilot who wants his or her children to follow in their footsteps.
As pilots say it these days, being an airline pilot was once just under being an astronaut. These days, it's just above being a bus driver. The Nielsen Ratings Service estimates the average American spends 151 hours a month watching TV programs.
A good percentage of the time we spend, quote-unquote, watching television is spent with the TV on while we're doing a number of other things, which, by the way, can sometimes often be working on a computer.
Robert Thompson, professor of TV and pop culture at Syracuse University. Sometimes it's live, sometimes we tape the shows. 5 hours a day each. Watching TV. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, there's never been a better time to own my new Orrick XL, because now the Orrick you've always wanted has a new low price. The amazingly powerful, incredibly lightweight new Orrick XL starts at only $299. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-877-ORRICK-21. That's 1-877-ORRICK-21. Or visit Orrick.com to find the Orrick store closest to you.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to cutting the risks of cancer in women, think teetotaler.
If you drink daily, even a little bit, you can significantly raise your risk of breast, liver, and rectal cancer. If you smoke, too, mouth and throat cancer risks increase. These sobering findings in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute.
This is a remarkable study. The investigators looked at over 1 million women.
Making the results all the more believable, says Dr. Michael Lauer at NIH. When it comes to cancer risk, he says no amount of alcohol is safe. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Should great professional athletes who use steroids during parts of their career still get the praise and the adulation and the fame? CBS News, New York Times poll, Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton.
44% of baseball fans think that Alex Rodriguez should not be eligible for the Baseball Hall of Fame someday. Fewer, 36%, think he should.
A-Rod is one of 104 athletes on that once secret baseball list. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, there's never been a better time to own my new Orrick XL, because now the Orrick you've always wanted has a new low price. The amazingly powerful, incredibly lightweight new Orrick XL starts at only $299. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-877-ORRICK-21. That's 1-877-ORRICK-21. Or visit Orrick.com to find the Orrick store closest to you.
Check this out.
Hello there. How are you doing? Have you met my friend Bill yet?
Why is there some guy on the back of your bike winking at me?
Oh, that's my wingman. I save so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I rented a wingman.
He has 2 tickets to paradise and needs a travel companion.
Hey, he is good.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
Oh, yeah.
Geico Motorcycle. Let's ride.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Fat Tuesday edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. And Mr. New Orleans wants a word with you.
On top of tons of property damage. Feel like a showing company screwed up. My spike lost his jaw. It is marriage. Like dominoes falling down the block. Got strung out on lush and narcotics. Falling around like he did a speeder shot. This ain't the Sudan, ain't living on. It's New Orleans, if you can. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you wonder how we do it, shout it, please, yeah.
You get it now.
Yeah, if you wonder how we're doing in New Orleans, we getting there. And I want to thank an anonymous listener at Big Sur who sent me this CD a couple of months ago. It's Dr. John and the Lower 9/11, the city that care forgot. And sad news, from New Orleans today as they gear up for the big Mardi Gras celebration. There were some shootings and people injured. Hate to see that. And in just a moment, we're going to talk about Louisiana and its new, deeply conservative governor, Bobby Jindal, who says, I don't know if we need that stimulus money. We'll get the lowdown on the job loss scoreboard from Adam Gentleson in just a moment. Later this hour, a fiery conservative, Bruce Fine, returns to our program, and he's steamed because he thought he was going to see some change. He probably didn't vote for Obama. I haven't asked Bruce. After all, he goes back to the Justice Department during the Nixon years, worked for Reagan, was part of the Clinton impeachment team. But he and I have bonded over his commitment to the Constitution and his willingness to oppose the Bush-Cheney regime. And now he's concerned about the continuity between Obama and Bush on rendition, detention, wiretapping, and other issues. We'll talk about that later this hour. And next hour, a true American hero, a whistleblower who worked at the FBI office in Minneapolis and went public because when she tried to warn the Washington FBI office about Mr. Moussaoui, the alleged 20th hijacker who was there in Minneapolis, well, they wouldn't listen to her. They wouldn't even accept her reports. And she is demanding investigations of the crimes of the Bush era. Colleen Rowley will join me next hour at the beginning here on the PBC show. Then Jason Leopold from the Public Record. He's got the update on Karl Rove's no-show before the House Judiciary Committee. And he also wrote a piece that John Yoo wrote one of those memos trying to legalize torture after torture had already occurred at Guantanamo Bay. The first waterboarding was already behind us when John Yoo and Jay Bybee penned those memos to expand the definition of torture and try to create legal cover for it. And we'll also get an update from our friend Melanie Sloan at CREW, Citizen for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Roland Burris is on the ropes. The senior senator from Illinois, Dick Durbin, has called for his resignation. We'll also talk about another problem with Obama, that they appear to want to drop the White House email case from the Bush era. And John Murtha, a Democrat, is in the sights of CREW as well. And in the Free Speech Zone in our final hour, available on many of our great affiliate radio stations, we're going to talk about a proposal to legalize marijuana in California. That's right, legal weed in Cali. And Tom Amiano, a new legislator from San Francisco, is the proponent of that bill. So that's all ahead here on the PBC show. And if portions of our program aren't available on your favorite radio station, log on to peterbcollins.com. We have the live stream every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, and the podcasts are available on demand whenever you need them. The link, again, on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. Well, December was a month when a lot of people just said,
take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Well, after all, if you're not going to pay me,
home and done left, took off,
and you don't want me around,
I was working for,
that's called a layoff.
You better not try to stay.
And you can take this job and shove it.
Out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Well, unfortunately, most people got the word the other way around. The boss said, you're out of here because we can't afford to pay you no mo'. Adam Gentleson joins me now. He's Communications and Outreach Director at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, their Hyde Park project. And he worked for John Edwards before that on the presidential campaign. He comes out of Campus Progress, the lefty brown shirt project there at CAP. Did they actually give you a shirt for that, Adam?
They did. It was not brown.
Oh,
I'm sorry to report.
Somehow I imagine that's true.
It's sort of a slate gray. I don't know what that stands for.
Well, welcome to the show. I understand that you have been compiling statistics on the dismal employment picture in the United States and the huge spike in unemployment that occurred during Bush's last full month in office. And while the right-wingers want to try to hang this on Obama, we know where this crisis originated and where the downturn started. Let's start in Louisiana because Bobby Jindal is a former congressman. He's a very conservative Republican, and he's one of those governors who's spouting off saying, I don't know if we want to take this free money from Washington. After all, we might become dependent on it, and then what would we do when the money from Washington runs out?
Yes, well... Right. Well, that's what he's saying anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it'll last. I think that this is a matter of rhetorical convenience. And when the check arrives, he'll cash it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is interesting to see the evolution in his position on this one, because he started out just carte blanche saying he wasn't going to take any of the recovery money, and then he kind of got walloped for that, mainly within the state but also in the national press. And then he sort of backpedaled and found one piece of the bill that he thought it was probably, you know, politically safe to oppose, and of course that would be the unemployment insurance part, the part that applies to our most vulnerable people in America. Typical conservative move to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the part he's now saying he is not going to take. That's $90 million just for Louisiana in federal assistance to extend unemployment benefits, which, as you pointed out at the beginning of this segment, a lot more people need those benefits,
mm-hmm.
The people who are already on them need them for longer, given the terrible employment situation we're facing.
So, Adam, you collected data and then got out a standard issue calculator and did a little figuring. And so, for example, you calculated that during the month of December, the state of Louisiana lost 430 jobs every single day. And that includes Christmas, doesn't it?
It does, I'm sorry to say. Probably not a very happy Christmas for those 430 people. But yes, that's correct, 430 people a day in Louisiana. And what's actually striking about that is Louisiana has one of the lower unemployment rates because it has sort of a counter-cyclical economy where, because it's very oil-based. So their unemployment rate is actually only about 5.9, which, while high, is underneath the national average. But even so, a state like that with a relatively low unemployment rate, they're losing 430 jobs a day. That was December. January was worse. We don't have the specific numbers yet. They haven't been released by the Labor Department. But you can bet that will be even higher.
Yeah. Okay. Now, North Carolina is where Governor Sanford says he doesn't need this federal bailout stimulus money either.
Yeah, well, you know, that's it's funny. You see a lot of folks saying, well, you know, if you're not going to do, I actually heard Governor Schwarzenegger say this on Sunday, you know, if you're not going to do anything with the money, ship it our way.
Well, so, but hey, the governor, this guy's all over the road, okay? Because just a couple of months ago, when it became clear that Democrats were planning to send some money to the states, he initially said, oh, no, we need to get our own house in order first. We don't want to be relying on the federal government.
Right.
But as the situation worsened and he was unable to corral members of his own damn party to vote for his budget proposals, he kind of stopped talking that way. Now he says, oh, yeah, we've got to be team players. Let's not worry about the next election.
Right. It's easy to rail against government assistance when you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you need it, I think it's more difficult. I mean, you mentioned Governor Sanford, South Carolina. South Carolina has a much higher unemployment rate than Louisiana. It's 9.5%, and they are losing jobs at a rate of 830 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So they're.
And I apologize to the North Carolinians. I mixed them up. My grasp of Republican governors is a little slow. I think I need the flashcard set to get caught up. But the reason I jumped to that was that the unemployment rate is much higher, and North Carolina took a big hit in lost jobs in December. They lost 1,240 per day, and their unemployment rate is 8.7. And South Carolina, the rate is 9.5%, but fewer people there, so they lost only 830 jobs each day.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you put it in perspective like that, it really drives home the point for people, because, you know, it's kind of a weird recession, I think. You know, for a lot of people, it hasn't quite hit home the real effects of it. But if you think about it in that way, I mean, 830 people a day in a single state, that's not spread across the country. It's incredible. I mean, California, for instance, I mean, you guys have a much higher population, obviously, but it's 5,000, over 5,300 jobs, people losing their jobs a day.
A lot of those are my friends, actually, and December was a brutal month. I know a lot of people who were downsized, laid off, or, you know, just still looking for work. And so it is very bleak, and I think it's very personal. I think most people here do know somebody who has been impacted adversely in just the last few months.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I hope I hope things turn around, but I think that, you know, the only way that they're going to turn around anytime soon, and this is what people are hoping for, and a lot of the new polls that came out today showed this, was people really looking for Republicans to stop just being the party of no, and actually roll up their sleeves and work productively with President Obama. You know, there are three new polls out today, I think. There's the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the CNN poll, all showing the public overwhelmingly thinking that President Obama has made a good faith effort to at least try to work with Republicans. And the Republicans, in turn, are taking his overtures and turning around and just, you know, giving him a cold shoulder. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it for political reasons.
Well, and I thought that scene at the White House on Monday, where he gathered people to talk about cutting the deficit by the end of his first term in half, that's his proposal. And the first guy he called on in this this kind of press conference with not the press was John McCain, and a little later Eric Cantor. And
right.
I really think the way he you know, kind of smacked him upside the head with love is very interesting. And we'll have to see how that plays out. Got to run to a break. Adam, stay with us. We'll talk more about the job loss scoreboard. And if you go to AmericanProgress.org, you can find more information there. That's the Center for American Progress. We'll continue. And if you've recently lost work, you want to talk about it, give us a call. 888-5-PETER-B. Just don't move to Louisiana. The unemployment benefits there suck.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale with The Sheila Show, Saturdays from 3 to 5. For the next few weeks, college basketball will be airing during my show. So please, if you tune in on Saturdays and hear basketball, you can hear me on Sundays from 3 to 5. The Sheila Show, where we talk about everything and help you get through life's toughest challenges. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Cornerstone Wellness Center on Cass Street in Monterey. Remember, if you tune in and hear basketball from 3 to 5 on Saturday, I'll be on Sunday, 3 to 5. The Sheila Show.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
KRXA 540 AM is the home of Cal State University Monterey Bay Basketball. Hi, this is Rob Hunt, the voice of the CSUMB Otters, inviting you to join KRXA as we bring you the best of NCAA Division II basketball with the CSUMB Otters.
Two games left in regular season play. This Thursday, the 26th, San Bernardino. Friday, the 27th, Pomona, both at 7:30. At the standing room only, Kelp Bed.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
This is the Media Matters Minute.
I'm Ben Fischel. In his February 13th column, George Will distorted statements made by the Arctic Climate Research Center, or ACRC, to suggest that humid-made global warming is not real. Will claimed that sea ice levels have been restored to what they were in 1979, but the ACRC directly contradicts Will's misuse of their research, noting that sea ice levels have diminished 1.3 million square kilometers since 1979, or roughly Texas, California, and Oklahoma combined. But today's most outrageous story goes to a St. Paul Pioneer Press editorial, which suggested that citizens of Minnesota should scrap everything that has occurred in their race for U.S. Senate and instead hold a do-over between Republican Norm Coleman and Democrat Al Franken. Despite the fact that Franken won the recount, despite the fact that Coleman has been handed numerous legal setbacks, and despite the fact that Minnesota law doesn't allow for runoff elections. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
And your humble host, Peter B. Lines open if you'd like to talk with us. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. It's 1-888-573-8372. The Welcome Wagon is still out for our new listeners in Missoula on KMPT. You get on the air on the program, we send you a DVD from our stack here of documentary classics of recent years. So feel free to join us, and we will reward you. We're talking with Adam Gentleson, Communications and Outreach Director for the Hyde Park Project at the Center for American Progress. Now, I spent time in Chicago. Hyde Park is Barack Obama's neighborhood. It's where the University of Chicago is. What's the tie between that and employment slash unemployment, Adam?
Well, Hyde Park Project is actually the name we give. We have a rapid response policy operation here at the Center for American Progress, and Hyde Park Project is the name of that project. It's funny, the Chicago connection, because we actually started it well before Senator Obama became or even a leading candidate for the nomination. So that we were actually thinking Hyde Park, New York, a reference to, of course,
Roosevelt.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. To FDR. So we were sort of hearkening back to great progressive traditions, although now we're also hearkening forward to current progressive traditions. So,
and there are many Hyde Parks. I grew up in Cincinnati, and there's a nice little suburb there called Hyde Park, too.
Yes. And also, I guess, in Hyde Park, London, where the Speaker's Corner is,
sure.
Great traditions of speaking out on progressive issues. So.
Now, I'm looking at the chart that you created showing the number of jobs lost in certain states, every state actually, over the month of December. And California numerically was the hardest hit. We're at 9.3% unemployment. But some states that are in four figures, Florida, 2,000 jobs lost every day in December, Indiana, 1,160, Michigan, not a surprise, 1,520, that number is probably climbing right now, and they're using our money to shut down more plants and lay off more workers. I just think that's a brilliant scheme. New Jersey, almost 1,600 jobs lost each day in December. Their unemployment rate, 7.1%. New York State, almost 3,000 jobs a day in December. Pennsylvania, 1,240. Texas, 1,150. Now, percentage-wise, the state that seems to be in the most trouble is Rhode Island, Adam, at a 10.0% unemployment rate. Now, it's a low population, so they only lost 120 jobs a day in December, relatively small compared to the other states. What are the key issues there about employment in Rhode Island?
Rhode Island's an interesting one. I think it's just the fact that the population is so small, and that's the reason why the numbers, the percentage number goes so high.
Uh-huh.
Rhode Island also has a lot of finance sector jobs,
mm-hmm.
You know, most of the states where you see heavy, heavy losses tend to be states where the industries are focused on manufacturing, where there was a real big housing boom, like Florida, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Rhode Island doesn't have either of those. It's a lot of service sector jobs, but it kind of just goes to show how, you know, you see the manufacturing in the news and you see the housing stuff in the news, but really this recession is having an incredibly broad effect and is really having a huge impact across all sectors.
Now, as a rapid response guy, I'm hoping you may have seen in advance of the president's speech. It's an almost State of the Union address before a joint session of Congress Tuesday evening. Does he have any more ideas for job creation, or are we going to let the stimulus work its way through the system?
Well, I think what folks are going to see tonight in President Obama's speech is a real focus on a lot of the big picture goals that we need to tackle if we really are going to get this recovery started. You know, I mean, the stimulus bill was always, is and always was touted as sort of, you know, the first injection of capital that we need to sort of, you know, stop the bleeding and maybe turn things into the right direction. But if we're really going to get economic recovery going in earnest, we need things like healthcare reform. We need things like transitioning to a clean energy economy. And we need things like greater unionization and stuff like that. So I think that what you're going to see tonight is President Obama sort of pivoting off of the recovery and the sort of immediate stimulus needed to the big picture reforms that need to happen, particularly healthcare, you know, which if we could get a rational healthcare financing system going in this country, it would be an incredible burden lifted off of businesses. It would be a huge burden lifted off of families.
Sure.
And that's the kind of thing that we need if we're going to get, you know, real, meaningful, long-term economic growth again.
Adam Gentleson of the Center for American Progress. Great to talk to you. Thanks for keeping score.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
All right, good to talk.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. Economics, known as the dismal science, since Thomas Carlyle called it that in the 19th century, is dismal even in the best of times, since it reduces everything to numbers and market forces. In dismal times, economics is even more dismal, as we all know these days. Do you know the difference between the debt and the deficit? It's an important difference, says political scientist Professor Larry Sabato, with respect to what President Obama is trying to do.
Simply reducing the annual deficit and cutting it in half, as Obama wants to do, doesn't do anything for the national debt. In fact, it will continue to grow. It's already over $10 trillion, doubled by George Bush, and we're on track to having it potentially double during the Obama administration.
More after this. The most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD. It begins with symptoms that include weighty lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, go see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels. Any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stephen Margolin's book, The Dismal Science, is subtitled How Thinking Like an Economist Undermines Community. President Obama has been listening to a lot of economists these days, but Professor Larry Sabato doesn't think he should be talking like one, which is to say with such dismal tone.
To give people some reason to hope that despite all these problems, in 2 years, maybe three, we'll have turned the corner. People have to believe there's a corner up ahead that will be turned, even if it's a distant corner.
Is President Obama trying to sound like an economist?
The recovery package will account for about 0.1% of our long-term debt. The real problems are the structural deficits and the structural debt that we've been accumulating. And all of us are complicit in.
He calls his approach a simple one.
You don't spend what you don't have. So if we want to spend, we'll need to find somewhere else to cut.
Right now, Obama has a more important role to play, says Larry Sabato.
It's up to Obama to use all of his persuasive powers to help people to believe there will be a better future despite all of the terrible problems in the present.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's useless to resist us.
And the irresistible Peter B. Collins Show continues. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know that I value constitutional rule. And we departed from that under Bush, Cheney, and Addington. I want to see them held accountable. And we're going to talk about that next hour, the top of the hour, with Colleen Rowley. She's that whistleblower who served at the FBI. She later ran for Congress, was unsuccessful, but she's from Minnesota. And she's going to talk with us about a group that she is part of, demanding investigations of the crimes of the last 8 years. And I think that they are real, and I think they are serious. And this is not a political witch hunt or just a neener-neener effort to get even, but it is an effort to really hold people accountable, expose to the American people the wrongdoing that occurred, and identify those responsible. And whether it's torture policies, the illegal wiretapping of Americans, or the use of extraordinary rendition, we have not seen a clear set of changes, a clear rejection of these illegal and expansionist activities that occurred under Bush and Cheney. Bruce Fine is not a stranger to this program. He and I have become acquainted because, despite our very strong differences on many political issues and political background, we share a strong commitment to the American Constitution. Bruce Fine served back in the Nixon era at the Justice Department, actually wrote some memos there about impeachment. He moved on into the Reagan administration, where he served and was also FCC counsel. And as many of you know, he was part of the impeachment team that prosecuted President Clinton in the late 90s. His most recent book is Constitutional Peril, The Life and Death Struggle for Our Constitution and Democracy. Bruce Fine, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Peter.
Well, it's good to talk with you. You're on your cell, but you're coming through loud and clear, so I'm glad you can join us. And, Bruce, before I rant and rave, let me just give you a couple of minutes here to size up the occurrences in the first month of the Obama administration. In reference to the constitutional issues that I know you're so passionate about.
Well, he basically has ratified everything Bush and Cheney have done, with a few commas and semicolons that don't amount to much. And let's itemize them. Number one, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act criminal violations. And remember, there is no need for an investigation, Peter. The president, former president and vice president, have openly stated
Yep. They
flouted the FISA law for more than 5 years, and that is a felony under the federal criminal law.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a matter of needing any investigation. You just apply the law. And of course, if the president believes that it would be divisive, he can always use his pardon power. That is what President Ford did for Richard Nixon. I think he paid a political price, but that's how the system works. You take political accountability for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if President Obama feels that it would be divisive to have a criminal trial of Bush and Cheney for the authorization to flout the requirement that if you want to spy on an American without a warrant, then you have to either go to Congress to get authorization for that or desist. But he doesn't do that. He's just basically said, I don't want to have the political price of pardoning Bush and Cheney for something that I think most Americans would be appalled at.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just use my prosecutorial discretion to shut my eyes and do nothing, which I think is quite cowardly. If he says it's so important to have unity and harmony that he should look aside, then go ahead and exercise the pardon power, which at least has this advantage, Peter. Mm-hmm. You can't force somebody to accept a pardon because it's an acknowledgement of guilt that you did something wrong for which you need a pardon.
Yeah.
So at least if you have a pardon, not only have accountability, but an acceptance that what was done was wrong, which is critical because it destroys what was done as a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
That for the future, that's a safe harbor for other future occupants of the White House. What you do, the Obama route, is you're saying these are precedents that are legal, and then they lie around, as I've said, like loaded weapons ready for use by anyone who comes in the White House and claims an urgent need. But that's just one area.
Okay.
That's a second area, right out in San Francisco, as you well know, the state secrets privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a privilege that's utilized by the government if it wants to prevent someone who's been a victim of their constitutional rights, like torture, from recovering damages against the government because it said if you expose our methods of torture, it would be embarrassing or disclose an intelligence method or source, and therefore you lose, you can't recover damages because what the government did was so atrocious. It would harm national security for people to know about.
And let's just identify here that one of the lead plaintiffs there is Binyam Mohammed, who was returned and repatriated to Britain on Monday. And he is very clearly talking about, and I have followed the story, and I didn't realize that he was in Morocco. This guy got a world tour of torture, and he is now willing to talk about it publicly. He describes the torture applied to him as medieval. And this, again, flies in the face of the assertion by the new lawyers. Well, actually, it's the same old lawyers, but they're arguing for the new Attorney General, Eric Holder, the same old arguments that they used for Mukasey and the Bush administration. And they're saying that we cannot allow this to go forward because it's all secret. Well, hey, the Binyam Mohammed case is right out there in the public eye, and it's not going to become any more secret just because they block legal action.
Well, but it's worse than that, Peter. Eric Holder has agreed. He hasn't just been listening. He's actually gone out to the Court of Appeals and said, we agree with Bush and Cheney. And this is despite the fact that the judges on the Ninth Circuit at oral argument were rather stunned.
Yeah.
They thought actually the more things change, they actually should change rather than stay the same. Obama has already bought the argument, and you're exactly right. Not only is this something that's public knowledge, but the gist of the state secrets privilege at this stage is, but if we actually conceded what we did, it would disclose a method of torture that might enable future detainees to anticipate that method of torture and resist talking. Now, hey, this is the kind of thing you would read about in 1984 or Alexander Solzhenitsyn Gulag Archipelago.
Yeah.
This isn't the United States of America that I certainly was born into.
Well,
it's really shocking.
And again, at the risk of shocking some people, Binyam Mohammed describes in some detail the way they used cuts on his genitals as a torture technique and then poured various liquids that would irritate those incisions. And so, you know, to suggest that somehow there are secret torture methods that we have used and that we cannot disclose because the enemy would find out is just bogus and bunkum. Because,
well, Eric as well. The other thing that the listeners need to know, well, what was this individual ultimately suspected of? Initially, they charged him with conspiring and working with Jose Padilla to develop a radiation bomb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to use in apartments, whatever.
Right.
Of course, ultimately, they dropped that charge completely and said, no, actually, we don't have any evidence of that. And then they let him go because they had no evidence that he was an enemy combatant. So they did this to someone who wasn't, quote, the worst of the worst in Don Rumsfeld's infamous name, but for someone who they actually didn't have any evidence whatsoever did anything wrong.
Yeah. And, Bruce, we have no information that would indicate that Barack Obama has ended extraordinary rendition or removed it from the toolbox of his administration.
Yes, in fact, we have evidence that he's actually continuing to do that by clearly not ruling it out. Everyone knows that was the focal point. An extraordinary rendition is a crime as well. That is, under traditional constitutional law, a president can deliver someone in U.S. custody to a foreign country only if there's a statute or treaty that allows it.
Mm-hmm. That's called extradition.
And there's no statute or treaty that says the president can just go deliver detainees as his God. to Egypt, to Yemen, to any other, Morocco, you say, any other country. He's got to get authority from Congress, and he hasn't gotten a whit of authority. If he wants to continue it, at least go through the constitutional process and have Congress ratified if they could withstand the public heat and sunshine of what they're doing.
Now, Bruce, another case that's here in San Francisco that also is an assertion of bizarre state secret privilege is the wiretap case, and we've had the attorney John Eisenberg on our program just recently, and it is bizarre and Kafkaesque that they now want to try to declare secret things that, just like the rendition of Binyam Muhammad, are in the public domain. And we know from... I'm sorry, we know from James Bamford's book and the PBS Nova special that he produced that was on about 3 weeks ago that the wiretaps have swept up absolutely everything. Every phone call, every cell phone call, every email, every other transmission. They're having a little trouble busting into Skype encoded internet phone calls, and there's a new RFP out for a couple of $1 billion to find somebody who can crack that. But we know from the evidence that is public, that's not at all classified, the dimensions of the wiretapping program. And so Judge Vaughn Walker is showing great courage here in the District Federal Court in San Francisco in trying to move the case forward, but he's gotten what amount to orders, Bruce, from the Justice Department to shut down the case. And he seems to be bristling at the idea that they would violate separation of powers and essentially try to tell a federal court judge what to do.
Well, that's right. And again, this is another instance where Eric Holder has already bought into the Bush-Cheney mentality here. It's not necessarily surprising because right after 9/11, Eric Holder made a comment that the bureaucrats should get away and the government agents should be able to have free rein in trying to capture anybody they thought was Al-Qaeda, even if they got it wrong most of the time, like with the individual who was tortured. The other element here about the state secrets privilege is you have to ask, what is it that would be disclosed that would give Al-Qaeda or an international terrorist some kind of edge? All the issue is about is whether you got a warrant or not to spot. It is absurd to conclude that any international terrorist doesn't suspect we're spying with them already. They don't care whether we're spying with or without warrants. So the idea that somehow disclosing the fact that we either did or did not ask the phone companies to go forward without warrants is totally innocuous on as a matter of cluing in the enemy as to things that they might not already know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is substantiated by the fact that when we had the first leak and publication to the New York Times about the warrantless surveillance program in December of 2005, Bush did not stop the program. He didn't say, now that the enemy knows it, now it won't work. He continued on as though nothing had happened. So that's another element of the fraudulence of this state secrets claim.
And, likewise, Bruce Fine, we've made no secret that we have been monitoring calls outside the United States, communications of all types, for decades. That's what the NSA does.
Exactly, without any warrants whatsoever. So what is it that the enemy is going to know that they don't already suspect?
I don't know. The only thing I can see here, Bruce, is that in both cases, Obama is moving to protect the Bush administration from embarrassment and legal exposure. I see no state secrets, no state interest in the cover-ups that Obama and Holder are extending.
No, the other thing that he's defending is just executive prerogatives. He may think, hey, I may need to do things in Afghanistan, or he may want to take the Gitmo detainees if he can't find countries and stick them in the Bagram air base. Because Bagram, he says, even though we control it, is off limits to federal courts, so we can throw people in black holes and they can never get out again.
And that was a two-sentence filing late last Friday.
They come so rapidly, it's hard to keep up with them. It's like following Watergate each day with a new disclosure and Nixon travails. But here we have an instance of the executive branch just wanting to defend its own prerogative. I mean, another example is the so-called subpoena power of Congress to force current or former White House officials to either show up to testify, and in which the new Congress has issued a subpoena to Carlo, at least show up. We want to ask you questions about U.S. attorneys, their possible perjury by Mr. Gonzalez or otherwise. And the Bush, I mean, the Obama administration doesn't say, well, of course you've got to show up. It's now deliberate. It doesn't know what to do. That it's a hard question for this administration to decide whether if there's a subpoena for an executive official, you actually have to show up. You could have pleaded privilege when you're there, but you can't just pretend it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hard question. I mean, that should have been simply answered in 10 seconds and say, of course you've got to show up, Mr. Rove. If there are particular questions you think would reveal state secrets or something, then that can be addressed at the time, but you just can't ignore a congressional subpoena.
We're going to...
That abides by the rule of law.
Sorry, Bruce, I got to jump in and take a break here. We'll continue with Bruce Fine. You can pick up his new book. It's still out in hardcover, Constitutional Peril, The Life and Death Struggle for Our Constitution and Democracy. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Your call subject to monitoring by the National Security Administration in order to protect you from dangerous terrorists. My toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
That's good old school MC Hammer rocking us into the next segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And that epitomizes the Bush and Obama administration's positions on these state secret assertions. Hey, courts, you can't touch this.
I told you.
Cause you homeboy, can't touch this. Yeah, how we living and you know, can't touch this.
Bruce Fine, our guest. Author most recently of Constitutional Peril, The Life and Death Struggle for Our Constitution and Democracy. Did you see Frost Nixon, Bruce?
Yes, I did. I thought, having actually watched the original.
That, yes, you did.
That's how old I am. The movie was a reasonably good second best and portrayed the mentality of the president and I think Mr. Frost quite adeptly.
Yeah. Well, I would just like to say I was a young talk show host in Chicago at the time Watergate broke, and it didn't do quite as much for me as it did for David Frost, but I got a bounce from Watergate, so it was fun to take a look at that. And once I got over that Frank Langella doesn't really look that much like Nixon, he certainly adopted the persona, and his voice was reminiscent. I don't think he nailed it dead on, but he certainly caught the intonations and the manner of speaking that Nixon used.
Yes, and what's so different, of course, today is there isn't any David Frost out there to question Bush or Cheney and suggest that what they've done is terrible and why they think they're above the law. They are quite abashed after there's a question, do you think you could do these things without any legal process? And when they say, of course, I was here to protect the country, then the journalists just move on instead of, my gosh, that's an impeachable offense, isn't it? What gives you authority to do that?
Yeah.
And that shows you how far we've come, Peter, from really the post Soviet Union era into the attitude and psychology of empire, where the whole public just thinks we just have to have a big father in the White House who will protect us. We can't have any risks whatsoever. It's more important to be to have video games and to have tranquility than to be involved in self-government, and therefore the American public doesn't get outraged at these things, because I'm sure the audience would feel, you know, my tone of voice seems just quite outraged, and yours as well. How could this be happening?
Mm-hmm.
Because this isn't things that we've got to investigate. They're openly conceded, and yet nothing responds. And yet I still think that, by and large, the public, although they see something wrong, they just don't sense, my gosh, the republic is really yielding to empire. We've got to take real action and send a signal. This is not acceptable behavior. You can't serve an office if you have the attitude that the citizens are vassals and you're a lord over them.
And, Bruce, this is a little bit of a diversion, but you'll understand in a moment. On Capitol Hill on Monday, there was a hearing regarding the failure of the Security and Exchange Commission to identify the Ponzi scheme run by Bernie Madoff, despite Harry Markopoulos, a whistleblower who gave him all the information 9 years ago. And it turns out that over at the SEC, they had a special telephone hotline. And this apparently was only available to the well-connected Reid campaign donors. But they could call over there and talk to an attorney or a staffer and essentially say, back off. And it appears that the SEC complied. So imagine that, you know, the Bush White House had a hotline like that. And you could say, they're after me on a wiretap thing. And you call the hotline and they say, well, we'll get them to back off. Well, you know, we cannot operate a government, whether it's at the SEC or the DEA. Imagine a drug lord calling in and saying, hey, get these guys off my case. I'm a big campaign contributor. We simply can't operate that way. Yet it appears without the campaign contributions, Obama wants to cover over the wrongdoing of the Bush era.
Yes, and it erodes the whole idea of the rule of law and the necessity of voluntary compliance if the system is going to work. If everybody's out there, Peter, thinking, I'll only comply with the law if I think I'd get caught, if I violated it and get prosecuted, the system will break down. People have to feel that they're all in it together, we're all hanging together, we hang separately, and you do things because you're part of a democratic community, you expect other citizens to comply as well, even if it hurts you. And when you see the highest level government officials getting away with these flagrant violations with impunity, and clearly the only reason is because of power and prominence, then it just eats away at each citizen says, well, the next time they're tempted, will I stay within the law if I think, you know, violating it isn't going to result in an immediate sanction? And that, they say, that's the beginning of the crumbling of those elements that make for a democratic society and stable government, because law really is what is the glue that holds us together.
And, Bruce, in the coming hour, we're going to talk to Jason Leopold, who reports that on the second day of office, Obama signaled that he quietly wants to drop the Bush email case. Melanie Sloan is one of the plaintiffs there. We're going to talk with her in the next hour or so. But we see a pattern here that I find very disturbing. And despite my support for Obama in the campaign and my reality that, you know, he's not a radical, either even a radical constitutionalist, I am surprised by what I see as a series of setbacks as they continue to embrace old positions.
Well, yes, it shows, I think, that he really lacks the stature of statesmanship and strength to look at old orthodoxies and the way of doing business and say, I'm not going to have it anymore. He has better English than Bush, and he's a little more savvy. But when it comes to these vital issues of who we are as a nation and what is it that distinguishes a democracy and republic from just a big empire monarch, he just doesn't have the clout and the stature to not flinch when the inside crowd says, no, we've always done it this way.
Bruce Fine, I'm out of time, Bruce. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for your passion.
Okay. Thanks, Peter. You have a good day.
Constitutional Peril, the latest book from Bruce Fine, F-E-I-N.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A flicker of light at the end of the tunnel.
There's a reasonable prospect that the current recession will end in 2009 and that 2010 will be a year of recovery.
In his speech tonight, President Obama will say,
we will rebuild. We will recover.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke sounded optimistic today when he told Congress the recession could end later this year, but he said it depends on stabilizing the banks and getting credit flowing again.
It's basically black and white. If we stabilize the financial system adequately, we'll get a reasonable recovery. It might take some time. If we don't stabilize the financial system, we're going to founder for some time.
And he had some comforting words for those invested in the financial sector. Bernanke said it's better for the government to support banks without nationalizing them. That sparked a rally on Wall Street. The Dow regained most of yesterday's losses, rising 236 points to close at 7350. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says this upturn was overdue.
We had big losses for the stock market in the past six sessions. We had the major indexes at 12-year lows. So it's no surprise to see people jumping in here and buying stocks at bargain basement prices.
President Obama, who speaks to Congress and the nation 2 hours from now, will try to balance a sober assessment of the economy with optimism about our long-term prospects. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed has a preview.
The president will claim his economic stimulus plan is already creating jobs and will try to convince a skeptical public that bailing out banks will help ordinary consumers. With today's news that home prices in the fourth quarter of 2008 plummeted at the worst rate on record, nearly 20% from a year ago, he'll argue that helping homeowners who are facing foreclosure helps everyone.
In the Republican response, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal will say the president's economic strategy is irresponsible and will saddle future generations with debt. Now this.
So my little brother, who runs his own business, tells me, the holy grail in business is your customer's email. So I'm like, okay, but how can you, Mr. No Creative Bone in Your Body, do something snazzy like email marketing? And he goes, ConstantContact.com. You know, if I had known he'd be this successful, I totally would have given him the top bunk.
ConstantContact.com. Email marketing with tons of easy-to-use, professional-looking templates so you can be as creative as you want. Get a free 60-day trial and free live phone support at ConstantContact.com.
Got a question.
What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. Their well-maintained late-model Hondas each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new. See dealer for limited warranty details.
The president won't say much about Iraq and Afghanistan tonight, but within days, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports he'll announce plans to remove all U.S. combat troops from Iraq by August of next year.
It is not a complete pullout, but it is a major, major withdrawal from Iraq, and will then give him enough troops to fuel the buildup that he is planning in Afghanistan.
Northern Trust, a Chicago-based bank that took $1.6 billion from the TARP fund, is under fire for its lavish spending on a golf tournament in Southern California last weekend. There were lavish parties with performances by Sheryl Crow and Chicago. Hundreds of employees and clients were put up at expensive Beverly Hills hotels.
I'm very disappointed as well as angry.
House Financial Services Chairman Barney Frank.
They shouldn't be spending the money subsidizing golf tournaments. And I know the argument is, oh, this is good for business. Do you know anybody who said, hey, that bank was sponsoring a golf tournament? I think I'll go buy one of their certificates of deposit. That's not a rational judgment.
The bank says it didn't use taxpayer funds and points out that its sponsorship contract was signed in the fall of 2007 before the financial crisis mushroomed. If you like a drink or two in the evening, you're not going to like this report from CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
A little red wine helps your heart. That's what we've been hearing lately. But a large new study suggests the party's over. Following more than 1 million middle-aged women for about 7 years, British researchers discovered that the risk of breast, liver, and rectal cancer rises significantly with each daily drink of alcohol. Drinking and smoking increases mouth and throat cancer risks. Dr. Michael Lauer at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute.
For middle-aged women, this study strongly suggests the risk of cancer probably outweighs benefits for the heart.
It appears in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You know, there's never been a better time to own my new Orrick XL, because now the Orrick you've always wanted has a new low price. The amazingly powerful, incredibly lightweight new Orrick XL starts at only $299. Try it risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, you don't keep it. Call 1-877-ORRICK-21. That's 1-877-ORRICK-21. Or visit Orrick.com to find the Orrick store closest to you.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels, any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
When
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Investigative reporter Jason Leopold later this hour about Roe's no-show at Judiciary, and that John, you wrote a torture memo after torture had already occurred.
Calling Elvis, is anybody home? Calling Elvis, are you all alone? I didn't leave the building, I can't get to the phone. Calling Elvis, are you all alone? Well, come on, call it, just lose your way. Let me leave my number.
Well, I hope you heard the preceding segment with Bruce Fein, the conservative Republican constitutionalist. who laid out the series of moves by the Obama administration to embrace the positions of the Bush administration on rendition, on illegal surveillance of Americans, and this dubious state secret privilege. Why, oh, why do they want to cover up the crimes and misdeeds of the Bush era? And why do Holder and Obama say that no one's above the law, but we prefer to look forward than look backward? Well, a great American joins me now. Colleen Rowley served at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. She blew the whistle on what she saw before 9/11 from the field office in Minneapolis. And she is a member of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. And she's written a piece that we'll talk about here shortly. Colleen Rowley, welcome to the program today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for speaking up and continuing to speak up in favor of that kind of quaint idea of constitutional rule in the United States of America.
Yeah, it's been, it seems like longer than I think it actually has been that we've been at this job now of talking about these issues ever since, certainly since 9/11. And of course, it's kind of funny now that we have this the situation where people are talking about moving forward and not addressing the past,
mm-hmm.
because it was very similar after 9/11. People have really forgotten about this, but the Bush administration, whenever people were asking, don't we need to investigate what these mistakes were that led to the 9/11 attack? And the Bush administration would say, oh no, that doesn't need. We'll just go forward from here. And don't distract us with these questions, because we need to institute our methods of addressing terrorism.
Well, and it's reminiscent of the Sergeant Schultz character on Hogan's Heroes. He was the guard who, I know nothing, I didn't see anything. And, we're applying this now to the Wall Street meltdown. Sure, there's some FBI cases that are in progress there, and more than Bernie Madoff will be brought to justice. But by and large, there's this big whoops mentality. Whoops, 9/11. Whoops, we had a financial meltdown. And, we have processes and a whole criminal justice system that is designed to address lawbreaking that occurs, particularly when it affects a very broad group of the American public. Yet we have this political desire to move on, and I think it is a huge mistake.
Yeah, I mean, moving on, the worst connotation of that is covering up, because you're not dealing with the hard issues of what caused something. We'd all like to, cover up things that occur, mistakes, and not deal with the dirty laundry. But when you go back to 9/11, I hate to keep harping on this, but you see where mistakes ensued almost immediately after 9/11. And why was this? Because the American people had no idea of what had led to 9/11. Right off the bat, there was a roundup of immigrants in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been great if they'd been real terrorists, but there were about 1,000 people standing in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they weren't terrorists. They were held for 6 to 9 months. That some of them were actually brutalized and beat up.
Yep.
And all of this was, of course, in a way, telling the American people, we're on the job, we're doing something. Right after 9/11, it wasn't, 3-4 months when this talk initially started of taking off the gloves,
mm-hmm.
and going to the dark side. We had an op-ed by Alan Dershowitz, I think, in November that began. There were two or three op-eds that came at a crucial time.
Yeah, Dershowitz wanted a regime for torture. He said, look, we're going to torture, so we ought to codify it here. Let's just do it by the book.
Yep, he had a series. I think there were two. One was in November of right after 9/11, and then one was in January of 2002. The one in January actually talked about things like sticking needles under your fingernails that would be less hurtful than other forms that he could come up with.
Yeah, but it was bizarre.
What you did is when that talk, again, without any accountability of what actually were mistakes and issues that were the truth here, without that kind of thing, it opens the door. There's a vacuum, and, the wrong fix, the wrong remedy to the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so we engaged in all of these mistakes, and I and, of course, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity members have been speaking out almost on a continuous basis since that time.
Colleen, I don't know how far you want to go into this. I'm not afraid to talk about 9/11 and what happened and what we've been told happened and what I consider to be the whitewash of the 9/11 Commission. But let me just offer this statement, see if you agree or disagree. I believe that we don't know the truth about 9/11. I believe that the information we've been giving about the towers coming down, including Building 7, doesn't square with basic physics. And I don't believe the 9/11 Commission did the job. I was a witness to their work. I spent several days in Washington watching the hearings, and I was appalled at the way they were conducted and the manner in which they appeared to intentionally skirt the issues and limit the depth of the investigation. Would you agree with me that the American public deserves a full, fair, and honest investigation of what happened on 9/11?
Well, right now, you know, the problem I think is we're probably going to have to prioritize as to what issues are the most important. And the issue that Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity signed today, which would hopefully lead to a special prosecutor being appointed to look at these very serious crimes, and notably, of course, the torture issue is probably right at the top. I think that probably now deserves top priority.
I understand that, but would you argue at least, you know, intellectually, that all of these have origins in 9/11? Without that, we wouldn't have had a Patriot Act. We wouldn't have had issues related to detention, incarceration without charge on an unlimited basis, and then torture.
Yes, that's exactly what I was saying from the start. I mean, this all begins because, you know, people are looking for fodder. They're looking for their Pearl Harbor so that they can launch this agenda. Some of it, though, I don't think was well thought out. I mean, certainly Iraq was something like that. They were looking for this ability to sell, and 9/11 served that purpose. So 9/11 was just terribly exploited in that respect, and there's now all kinds of people that have come forward to say that Bush and Cheney were already asking, you know, on the day of 9/11 and the very next day, can we use this now to go into Iraq?
That's right.
But then there were other dumb things, and of course some of those were at different levels, and I mean the roundup that ensued, again, partially just as a response to the public, because the public could not believe something like this would happen, and you had to tell the public, hey, we're making progress. In fact, that would always, that little line, we're making progress in the war on terror, would actually be a part of the press releases that were being put out.
Yeah.
And again, these were not even, they were all innocent people. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. I just came back from an intelligence ethics conference in which the topic of torture now has been discussed for the last couple of conferences. And there's been a sea change in professionals inside, a lot of them inside of government. Initially, of course, there was this idea that you had to use these harsh tactics. And now, actually, I think it's pretty much moved the other way. The majority of certainly professional interrogators understand that torture does not lead to good intelligence or good information. You might get the person to talk, but you're not going to get any good information. So it's taken a long time for us to get to this, I think, with people in our country now at a critical mass that want to see accountability. I think they said there's about 60% of people would like to see an investigation now begin. And I do think we have to prioritize. Going back to your question about the intellectual argument about 9/11, yes, there are plenty of things that are not known. I will say, though, on behalf of the 9/11 Commission, they were put under severe constraints. People forget that the Bush administration fought the 9/11. Even
I haven't forgotten that. And we know that Phil Zelikow was there to manage the effort and keep it from straying beyond the parameters the White House wanted. But, you know, that doesn't excuse the behavior of commissioners who played along with it. And this is why I'm pleased that VIPS and others are calling not for a truth commission like Senator Leahy has proposed, but for a true independent counsel, a special prosecutor who would pursue investigations
and where they are warranted charges and follow those through with a trial. And that is what I believe is the best route going forward, because based on my perception of the 9/11 Commission, I'm commissioned out, and I don't want to see Lee Hamilton get appointed to another whitewash job.
Yeah, well, that is certainly the problem, and the fear is that these commissions are quite variable. There could be one that, if it was constituted correctly, might work, and on the other hand, there certainly can be whitewashes. We just had one here in our RNC after 800 arrests, and it was called the RNC Commission Report, and it was a complete whitewash.
That's from the convention in St. Paul?
Yes, and yeah. Two prosecutors were put in charge of this, and they had four or five people that were very biased. I don't think they actually even saw the evidence themselves. The prosecutors wrote it, and it was a complete whitewash. So they do vary a little, but the 9/11 Commission, I think they were under constraints. The Bush administration did fight them tooth and nail. There were times when they actually, some of the commission members had to even go to the press to try to get some of the documents and things.
And funding, too. They didn't want to give them any money to make it all work. So I understand that. We're going to take a break and return. Colleen Rowley is with us, former FBI agent from the Minneapolis field office. And if you have a question or a comment about investigating the crimes of the Bush era, join me now. Call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Tomorrow Matters is back on air Sundays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Green Talk Radio for the Central Coast.
I'm Deborah Lindsay.
And I'm Spencer Lindsay.
Join us as we dazzle you with local solutions to environmental issues.
We'll be talking about things like climate change,
green building,
alternative energy and transportation,
water conservation,
organic farming,
and bicycles,
and a whole lot more.
Join us on KRXA 540 a.m. Sunday mornings at 10.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. Right now in Monterey County on Corral de Tierra Road at Highway 68, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the scene there. And we have a traffic hazard on Highway 68 at Salinas River Bridge. There's a pedestrian walking on the right shoulder, so watch out for him. In weather, it's partly cloudy out, and we've got a chance of showers this afternoon. Highs are in the lower 60s with southwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, temperatures will be dropping down into the lower 40s, and Wednesday will be mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and highs around 60 degrees. Right now in Monterey, it's 57 degrees, and Salinas and Santa Cruz are both 60 degrees. That's your KRXA traffic and weather. Have a terrific afternoon, and stick around for more of the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's Peter B. Collins, and this is a song I'd like to put on Dick Cheney's iPod. A declaration issued today calling for a special prosecutor to investigate the alleged crimes of the Bush era. I fully support this, along with the Center for Constitutional Rights, the National Lawyers Guild, David Swanson, and After Downing Street, lots of other people. Brad Blog's co-signer here, Citizens for Legitimate Government, Code Pink for Peace, Dan Ellsberg, Democrats.com. The list is quite impressive. And Colleen Rowley is with us. She's with Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray McGovern is one of the co-founders of that group and a regular contributor to our program. And I'd like to trade an organization or at least a website with you, Colleen, just so you're aware of it. My friend Steve Pizzo has put up bushproject.com. It's simple, bushproject.com. And there he is compiling all of the information and what we would call evidence that has surfaced so far. He's got the Conyers report, got many other documents there, and I think it's a great resource, and I just wanted you to be aware of it, bushproject.com. Now, what do you think it will take to really persuade the Obama administration to directly confront this and to give us the appropriate tool, which is a special prosecutor, not some sort of diversionary commission?
Well, it's going to take grassroots efforts and people. So it's this is where I think any listener out there who happens to be like us, who knows that the law has to win. I love that song. I fought the law and the law won. Ultimately, for the good of this country and the people in this country, the law has to win. You know, we can't have imperial presidencies like Bush and Cheney. We can't tolerate a commission of a war crime like torture.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all this blowback, which actually has already begun in places like Iraq, that our casualties went up after Abu Ghraib.
Mm-hmm.
So we have got to, the people of this country, I think, need to know the consequences for themselves. And when they know how this affects them in their daily lives, all of the past two terms, the two presidential terms, all of the different actions are coming back on us. I think that that's what can motivate people then to reach out to their senator and representatives and to the Obama administration.
Yeah, well, I think it's important. We need to keep the pressure up, and I'm delighted to see this full array of groups speaking out. And we need to build on that and make sure our elected leaders know about it. Aldous in Madison, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. You know, could we get Vincent Bugliosi as the special prosecutor?
Well, he has written the book about prosecuting George W. Bush for murder. Colleen, what do you think about the Bugliosi angle?
Well, I thought it was very logistically and technically correct. The only hard part he has is this prosecution for murder.
Mm-hmm.
The good thing about his theory is, of course, the war itself is the aggregate of all the other crimes.
Right.
And so when you prosecute for that one thing, it covers, it's going to kind of encompass everything else.
Mm-hmm.
He had if anyone could have pulled it off, it's Bugliosi.
And the only thing is, he has to find a prosecutor who would take it on. And
well, there's a man in Seattle who's mailed a copy of that book to every district attorney or other prosecutor in the U.S. And if you go to bushproject.com, there's a link to him, and you can take a look and follow up with your own prosecutor locally and call them and weigh in and let them know you support this.
I think probably the special prosecutor is probably the way to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look at the Fitzgerald investigation of Scooter Libby.
Yeah.
That did not, certainly it was in the papers a lot, but it didn't take the country off course. And so if we had someone like Patrick Fitzgerald or someone like a Bugliosi.
I wanted David Iglesias to get that job.
Yeah, he would be good, too. Yeah, there are lots of good prosecutors that could think that, you know, this actually is an easy case. It's not that difficult a case because most of it's been admitted already.
That's right. Bruce Fein made that point. He said, Peter, you don't need a lot of investigations. Bush and Cheney have admitted quite a bit already.
Mm-hmm.
They've been bragging about it. So, well, Colleen, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. I was supposed to let you go 3 minutes ago, and I just remembered that. My apologies. So on to your next encounter, and thank you for talking with me.
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
That's Colleen Rowley in Minneapolis. Coming up next, Jason Leopold checks in, the investigative reporter. He's got a lot to talk about. Rove, John Yoo, and much more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Please, leave home without it. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. How tight is this economy? Here's John McCain telling the president his helicopter costs too much.
Your helicopter is now going to cost as much as Air Force One.
And here's another side of the apocalypse. American Express is trying to buy out some of its cardholders. What happened to the days when they gave credit to my cat? Wait a minute, I don't have a cat. Which made it even crazier. Now American Express has a buyback campaign where if you close out your account now and give up your reward points, they'll give you $300, which is pretty clever. It's a way of finding out which customers desperately need $300, because these days someone like that has no business with a credit card. And look at the other credit card companies. You know, I see people protesting the housing bailout because they hate subsidizing deadbeats. Look what the credit card companies are doing. Jacking up interest rates to make you, the responsible cardholder, subsidize the deadbeats. Where's talk radio on that one? Where's the Tea Party on that? Where's Rick Santelli? Whoever is against the socialist attempt by credit card companies to get me to pay for other people's mistakes, raise their hand. And that's not all. American Express and the other banks raising credit card rates have cashed billions in government bailout checks. Citigroup alone got $50 billion. Geez, I hope they gave the government reward points. Maybe then the president could afford those new helicopters.
The helicopter I have now seems perfectly adequate to me.
Well, then buy your kids that dog. Someday, it might even get a credit card. Now this.
Whether you run a small business or a big enterprise, you face similar IT challenges every day, including network security, user productivity, network and application performance, and data storage and email retrieval. That's why over 70,000 businesses like yours count on Barracuda Networks to solve these challenges right out of the box without IT expertise at a price that any business can afford. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for a free 30-day trial of any of our security, productivity, or storage appliances. That's 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or see for yourself at Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Summer in Santa Cruz, you just can't beat it. It's time for friends, family, fun, and food. Whether it's an afternoon barbecue or a dining room banquet, it all begins with getting the best quality food at the best prices. For nearly 70 years, Shopper's Corner Market has delivered both. Shopper's Corner is the oldest family-owned and operated independent grocery store. It's where the locals shop.
I like their meat department.
That's what I buy here.
They have a good organic selection.
Things you can't find other places.
Enjoy the friendliest service and fastest checkout at Shoppers while taking advantage of the everyday low prices on USDA choice meats, fresh local seafood, and produce.
Their produce is great. Actually, I shop around quite a few different places, but I always come back here because they have the best.
The variety of stuff you find here you don't find other places, and the service.
Shoppers has a vast assortment of cheeses and specialty foods, along with one of the best wine selections in the Monterey Bay area. Shoppers Corner, on the corner of Soquel Avenue and Brant Saporti in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at shopperscorner.com.
I shop here because of the fact I live around the corner.
Shoppers Corner, it's where the locals shop.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Jones, the L.A. Times, helped bring us the truth about Enron. He was one of the founding reporters at truthout.org and now publishes at the nonprofit journalism site that he founded last year called The Public Record. And they're on the web at pubrecord.org, pubrecord.org. Jason, how are you?
Hey, Peter. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you along. And before we dive into some of your great reporting that I want to discuss with you today, I see a new byline at pubrecord.org pretty often now, William Fisher.
Yeah, William Fisher's been doing some great work. I actually got to know him when I was working over at Truth Out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has some great experience having worked, first for various news agencies. He also did a stint and had done some State Department work.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been great just in terms of really jumping all over the issue of torture, the issues revolving around Bagram Air Force Base. In fact, he was one of the early reporters to raise a red flag about what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, he's doing good work, and a couple of the pieces, we've talked about those subjects, so I'm glad to see it showing up there at the Public Record.
And it takes a little, he picks up my slack, in a sense, gives me a little more time to do some investigation.
Uh-huh, good. And there's another byline here, Jeffrey Kay, who got the minutes from a torturer's meeting from Carl Levin's website, and I haven't had a chance to examine this yet, but it looks pretty interesting.
You know, Peter, let me just tell you that, again, this really, that particular story, if you will, is really not a story per se, in that it's more of a...
It's the public record.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you. That's exactly what, you know, I wanted to say, is that it's really using the public record to draw people's attention to what they, what would either go underreported or just simply not reported at all. And, you know, and as this issue and as these talks revolving around a truth commission, which, let's face it, the truth commission, really, certainly there are things that people want to know about the U.S. attorney firings, maybe even Valerie Plame, which we still don't know some issues there. But a lot of it has to do with torture,
mm-hmm.
Interrogations, renditions, and or at least the debate that's happening out there right now.
Right.
And there are, you know, what I wanted to say is that there are so many thousands and thousands of pages of documents, and that are actually already in the public record. And, you know, just it's real important to just grab a few of the most explosive ones and bring it to people's attention, to the public's attention, and, you know, let it speak for itself. And this particular document, I have to tell you, it's you know, you read this, it reads like a script from some slasher movie. This is really unbelievable in terms of what these high-level officials were discussing. So, you know, I can tell you that the ACLU actually has, it really would take months and months to go through the thousands of pages of documents that they have obtained just to really, that really proves that the highest level members of the Bush administration were sanctioning torture.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the next few months, we're going to highlight some of these documents and let these documents speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, just to give you a little background, Jason, before you joined us, Colleen Rowley was on the program.
Oh, yeah.
The Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity and many other groups issued a statement today calling for a special prosecutor to investigate the crimes of the last 8 years. Bruce Fine was on with us a little bit earlier and made the case about how frustrating it is that the Obama Justice Department is taking the same goddamn positions as the Bush Justice Department.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I have to say that, you know, just to, on Friday, just to go back a couple of days, you know, just when I saw their position on the missing emails controversy.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Melanie about that next hour.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
Know, and I, you know, and Cruz sent me a, you know, one of their motion opposing the dismissal of the suit. I have to say, Peter, I was blown away that one day after, you know, the inauguration, and on the same day that he was signing these executive orders, promising, more transparency than what we had seen before, that they sought to dismiss this lawsuit, and in doing, you know, just doing so without even having the full understanding of what went on behind the scenes. The Justice Department right now, and again, I don't know if it's because he does not have all of the appointees in place,
mm-hmm.
But it's there. People should be really concerned. And
but specifically,
thing,
hold your thought there, Jason.
Yeah.
Specifically, in each of these cases, we do have the same lawyers who are holdovers from the Bush era.
I was just going to say that.
Who've been making the cases, but they can take orders. And if
right.
Eric Holder says you go into that courtroom and you tell them in the Binyam Muhammad appeals case before the Ninth Circuit, we need 30 days. We'll
right.
get back to you because we are reevaluating the situation and we're looking for fresh information to make those determinations.
Right.
But no, they said this has been fully vetted and this is the position of Attorney
right.
General Eric Holder.
And by the way, just to stay on that topic, and I have to say this, because I found this to be the most despicable act that we've seen just in the 1 month that Obama's been in office, is that yesterday Mr. Muhammad was released from Guantanamo.
That's right.
7 years.
Yeah. Well, hold on. He was only at Guantanamo. I got this.
18 months, I believe.
Well, no, he was at Guantanamo about 3 years. But
years.
Before
okay.
that, he was shuttled around.
Right.
Spent
Morocco.
Time in Morocco, at
yeah.
Bagram. I mean, he got the world torture tour for free, and he has scars to prove it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to say that his release yesterday, you know, what the Pentagon did, and let's face it, this is the Obama administration knew this, that they would release a report, and I don't think it's a coincidence, a report on the same day, yesterday, stating that the Guantanamo facilities are treating prisoners. It's a humane facility.
Yeah.
Where prisoners are treated humanely. On the same day that this detainee who was tortured,
mm-hmm.
was released, you know, to me is, again, it's a page right out of the Bush playbook.
Yeah. Yeah, and
people should be outraged at that.
Well, and what's even more outrageous and insulting, Jason, is that they try to use the state secret privilege claim to cover this stuff up. And I'm sorry, you cannot apply that to Binyam Mohammed.
No, absolutely
And
not.
To imagine that by denying him and other similarly situated plaintiffs a day in federal court to preserve methods I'm sorry. That it doesn't wash, and you cannot say that there appear to be any ideal level motivations from the Obama administration on this. It seems to be pure pragmatism and, you know,
Absolutely.
Very cold calculations that, A, we're going to cover this stuff up, and, B, we are probably going to reserve for ourselves executive privilege and other far-fetched claims of the Bush era, because who knows when we're going to need it.
Right. I have to say that, you know, I agree, especially in the past week. You know, last week, we spoke about this a bit, and just in the course of 1 week to see the various moves that they have made has pushed me more in that direction. And, you know, I just also think it's really important that people be aware that in the next few weeks, perhaps even the next couple of months, there are going to be some scathing reports that all come out at the same time, revolving around torture, the U.S. attorneys, and these reports will more or less say that, you know, laws were broken, that perhaps crimes were committed, and that further investigation needs to be done. And that has to do with the CIA torture tapes, the torture memo that John Yoo had written, which I had reported on, and a report from Carl Levin. He's going to declassify a report regarding torture and the tactics that were used at the various military facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these together is all these reports being released at the same time is going to put enormous pressure on Obama to do something, because this will be in the headlines. This will be on, you know, maybe not on the front page of the Washington Post, but it certainly will be out there. And he's going to be under enormous pressure to do something. And if they sweep this under the rug, or if they, you know, use the line of let's move on,
mm-hmm.
You know, get ready for serious blowback.
Yeah. Colonel Terry's on the line from Monterey. Always a great caller. Welcome, Terry.
Mr. Leopold, let me compliment you really highly on your excellent work for the country and truth and justice.
Well, I really appreciate that.
You know,
Thank you very much.
My perspectives include working with three different administrations on classified, sensitive, and controversial matters, as well as the Pentagon, and a perspective decades prior to that with Ralph Nader, speaking of investigative efforts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, as a caring, smart citizen, and I'm a political independent, but doggone it, I want my country to freaking succeed.
Exactly. And, exactly. I think we all do, and we want to see that happen.
And Bush and Cheney set us up for failure, although, frankly, the Clinton era had its share of
indeed.
In improper conduct, shall we say.
Yes, we had rendition under Clinton.
And of course, the tragedy is that, I can tell you, as a former military officer involved in intelligence, I agree with John McCain's observations 2 years ago, which were then accurate and then became politically, you know, popularized.
Right.
We don't get anything out of torture.
Right.
As a politician, we gain so much more. All right, we all know this. George Washington understood this, a matter of fact. You know the orders he gave at the Hessians, some of whom were highly suspected or even personally identified as having committed perhaps even rapes,
yeah.
were not to be tortured on Washington's orders.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it changed under, certainly, you know, what we've seen under the previous administration. The fact that you know, we see other countries, you know, doing this, and that we are so critical, which we should be, but we won't hold our own officials accountable.
Well, Hillary went to China and played down human rights this time.
It's really... Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you know, just there's a show that NBC is producing, a reality show, which they're going after individuals. It's like the child molesters, where they're, you know, trying to find these individuals, but going after those who committed war crimes. Not anyone from this country, but other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the focus of a new reality series. So... it's very strange, and again, you know, I really urge people to read some of these. If you have any doubt that anything happened, just go to the ACLU's website, and, you know, they've obtained all of this under Freedom of Information Act lawsuits, and these documents are explosive.
And Terry, go ahead.
Withheld in the FOIA delivery, because there are mechanisms and, you know, arguments for doing
right.
that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's national security sensitive and classified, so again, I think there's enough publicly to both prosecute and investigate, which brings us back to how do we do more? Those millions of us who care, who are smart about these realities that you have so wonderfully reported and exposed, how
yeah.
do we motivate enough members of Congress to, goddamn it, do the right thing?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the old line about just calling your members of Congress. It's really true. I mean, I have to say that, you know, to be perfectly honest, not many people, Terry, have done that, have actually, you know, and when I say many, I mean in the numbers that you'd want to see, have actually gone out
yeah.
and, you know, pressed or pressured or demanded the leadership, you know, do something, or even you know, the executive office of the president.
We withhold our political support and financial contributions to members of Congress who fail
yeah.
to conduct an adequate investigation to
yeah,
everything.
And I mean, that's what needs to be done. It really needs to be done in a, you know, the best way is really the grassroots effort.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell you that Democrats.com, I believe it is, they just launched an initiative to ask for a special prosecutor where they have a grassroots effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same. That's the same as what we were discussing with Colleen Rowley, the Veterans
right.
Intelligence
okay.
Professionals for Sanity,
mm-hmm.
and about 30 other groups are co-sponsoring this, and I'm really glad to see it.
But Terry, I
got to run to a break. Thank you for your comments today.
Thank you, Terry, very much.
Jason, stand by. We'll
sure.
continue in a moment, and I want you to run down why Rove didn't show up and why you wrote a memo after torture had actually commenced. Jason Leopold, read his work at pubrecord.org, pubrecord.org. Your calls and comments are welcome here. You know my number, 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Thea Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM Traffic and Weather Report. We're still keeping an eye on the incident in Monterey County on Corral de Tierra Road at Highway 68. The traffic collision with no injuries. They're cleaning that accident up right now. And in Santa Cruz, we have a couple of incidents happening. There's a vehicle on fire on the northbound one at Larkin Valley Road. And on Brancy Fort Drive, just before Vine Hill Road, look out, there's a deer in the road there. In weather, it's partly cloudy out, and temperatures are in the upper 50s to low 60s throughout the Tri-County area. Tonight, we have a slight chance of rain, with temperature lows dropping into the 40s. Well, that's your AM 540 Traffic and Weather Report. Have a great afternoon, everyone. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Wide open Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Nike Robinson.
4-on-3 up the left side. Jamal Boykin in the open floor. Goes in and Viney and scores!
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home for the Bears.
No broadcast of this Thursday's game. Next game for the Cal Bears is on Saturday, the 28th, UCLA at the Haas Pavilion, 5:30 p.m. on KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show with a warm welcome for our new daytime weekday listeners in Missoula on AM 930 KMPT. Missoula, you get a few more minutes, and if you want to continue, you can log on to our stream at peterbcollins.com. We continue with Jason Leopold from pubrecord.org. And Jason, before we dive into more of your reporting, I just wanted to acknowledge our mutual friend, my former producer who you stole away to Truth Out, Matt Renner, has a great piece that's up at truthout.org today.
Yeah, that is a really good piece on the
hotline.
Yeah.
The don't bug me, back off hotline. This is a way that campaign contributors and other well-connected capitalists could call in and say, you know that investigation into, oh, me, Bernie Madoff? Why don't you back off?
Exactly.
And this is a missed opportunity, of course, if the DEA had a hotline like that. They could score a lot of money from drug dealers.
Yeah, I think that is, that report is definitely going to shake things up a bit over there, and more questions will be asked.
Yeah. So, Karl Rove, what's his status, and should he actually have shown up on Monday?
You know, if Peter, this is a really, really bizarre turn of events that have been unfolding over the past couple of weeks. And first of all, yes, he should have shown up, and he should have at least shown up to assert any privilege that he believes he has. He could have sat in a chair and said that I'm not going to answer any questions under executive privilege. But the Fred Fielding, Bush's former White House counsel, gave him a letter along with Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton, the other advisors, saying you don't even need to show up. And that is a question. First of all, let me just say last year, Judge John Bates, U.S. District Court judge, he's a Bush appointee. Actually, when he had shot down Bush's broad claims of executive privilege, and specifically with Harriet Myers, he said that if you want to assert any privilege claims, you need to at least show up, respond to the subpoena, and do it in person. So the Bush administration appealed that ruling.
Mm-hmm.
What's been happening over the past 2 weeks, however, it's strange because they're actually negotiating with Karl Rove. I think that is sort of ridiculous. They tried to negotiate with Harriet Myers or Fred Fielding and Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton last year, trying to get their testimony when the House was trying to get their testimony, and those negotiations went nowhere. But they are negotiating with Karl Rove's attorney, Harriet Myers, Josh Bolton, to try and have to see if there's anything that can be worked out between Congress and them that would see their testimony. And Obama is the one who is sort of encouraging this. The problem here is that there actually could be some sort of deal that is struck in exchange for their testimony. And what that means, it could be, immunity. It could be, we'll ask you questions about this U.S. attorney only and not another one. There can be all sorts of things that are thrown in that would encourage them to testify, you know, even immunity. Who knows? But the problem is that, you know, that for Karl Rove, this is, you know, yesterday he was in Chicago hosting a fundraiser for Republicans, and when he should have been in Washington responding to a subpoena. The question is that will they, you know, will they pursue contempt charges? No, that's what I'm told, at least. And in fact, you know, while these negotiations were going on, John Conyers still enforced that subpoena. I can tell you that behind the scenes, he is somebody who is not very happy about the way things are going, and certainly did not want to be negotiating because of how he was blown off last year. Mm-hmm. But you know, it certainly looks like it's going to be a prolonged legal battle. The Obama administration asked the U.S. Court of Appeals for a 2-week delay or an extension to a deadline to file a legal brief in which they will state whether the Obama administration will state whether it supports Bush's broad claims of executive privilege, specifically related to the testimony of Harriet Myers, Josh Bolen, and ultimately, you know, Karl Rove would come into play as well.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if they actually attempt to prove that there were discussions with the president that therefore trigger executive privilege, because those have been denied to date. You can't have it both ways.
Exactly.
Either there was a discussion with the president and executive privilege may apply, or there wasn't and it doesn't.
Exactly.
Jason,
exactly.
Thank you very much. I want people to go to pubrecord.org and also read your report from Monday. John Yoo's legal memos were written after at least one act of torture had already occurred, and that's a very important issue. Thanks for all your great work.
Appreciate it, Peter. Have a good one.
Okay. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. There's one more hour available on the stream. Link up to it at peterbcollins.com.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama speaks to Congress and the nation an hour from now, and he'll have some blunt words about the economic mess we're in. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer joins us live.
And, Bill, it will be a Rally America State of the Economy speech. President Obama will say the day of reckoning is here and it is time to take charge. He'll take aim at tax cuts for the rich and waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicare. He'll promise to eliminate no-bid contracts that wasted billions of dollars in Iraq. He will urge Americans to pull together and boldly confront national challenges. The president will say while the economy may be weakened and confidence shaken, the country will rebuild and recover. Live in Washington, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
The governor of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, delivers the Republican response tonight. He attacks the economic stimulus plan as irresponsible and says the way to lead is not to raise taxes and put more money and power in the hands of Washington politicians. Not tonight, but soon, CBS News correspondent David Martin says the president will announce a decision to withdraw all combat troops from Iraq by August of next year.
It means the 14 combat brigades that are now in Iraq, out of Iraq. That will leave behind some tens of thousands. The exact number is not clear, but it's certainly going to be more than 30,000.
The pullout would make more combat troops available to fight in Afghanistan. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke sparked a rally on Wall Street today when he said there's a reasonable prospect that the recession will end this year and 2010 will be a year of recovery, but it all depends on the banks.
If we're going to have a strong recovery, it's got to be on the back of a stabilization of the financial system.
The Dow rose 236 points, erasing most of yesterday's losses to close at 7350. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says the Fed chairman gave investors a clear path to recovery.
They're looking really for concrete details, real ways that the government is going to help stem foreclosures and help the banking system back on the right track. Bernanke basically told Congress a very simple statement: fix the banking system first, and the rest of the economy will follow.
And he Number two Democrat met today with his embattled Illinois colleague, Roland Burris.
I told him that under the circumstances, I would consider resigning if I were in his shoes. He said he would not resign, and that was his conclusion.
Durbin said, I can't force him. Burris has acknowledged trying to raise money for then-Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich before Blagojevich appointed him to Barack Obama's Senate seat, but Burris insists he did nothing wrong. Ford's top two executives are taking 30% pay cuts this year and next to help the company conserve cash, and reportedly another round of early retirements and buyouts will be offered to hourly workers. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from the weather.
I am the weather!
Oh, yeah, I've seen you on the news.
But you must fear me!
I'm afraid I don't. See, my Ford is ready for anything.
No car can withstand the wrath of weather!
Mine can.
What? What do you mean?
Yep. Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers offer the Works Fuel Saver Package. And besides a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil and filter change and tire rotation, it's a complete check of belts and hoses, fluid levels, tires, brakes.
Oh, yeah? How about a little rain? Or a lot!
Now, Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a special low price on wiper blades.
Whoa! Kind of knocked the wind right out of me.
Oh, sorry.
The Works Fuel Saver Package is just $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate. Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. Come in, keep going. Taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See your participating dealership for rebate details or visit genuineservice.com for 33109.
Talk about a repeat offender. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story of a South Florida man who's hardly had time to do anything else.
190. That's how many times police say Harry Farrell has been arrested. His latest booking for an attempted carjacking last month in Boca Raton in South Florida. Farrell is 46. His first arrest came at age 20 for possession of cocaine and marijuana. Investigators say most of his arrests were for misdemeanors. Relatives say Farrell has bipolar disorder.
With college costs rising faster than the rate of inflation, something's got to give. At Hartwick College in Oneonta, New York, President Margaret Drugovich says they're offering students a chance to save money by completing a four-year program in three.
Tuition and fees next year will be over $40,000, and so if you take that cost over a four-year period, it adds up pretty quickly.
Three-year degrees are the norm in Europe, but they've been a hard sell in this country. Most students are in no rush to graduate. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So my little brother, who runs his own business, tells me, the holy grail in business is your customer's email. So I'm like, okay, but how can you, Mr. No Creative Bone in Your Body, do something snazzy like email marketing? And he goes, ConstantContact.com. You know, if I'd have known he'd be this successful, I totally would have given him the top bunk.
ConstantContact.com. Email marketing with tons of easy-to-use, professional-looking templates so you can be as creative as you want. Get a free 60-day trial and free live phone support at ConstantContact.com.
Got a question. What's the worst thing about buying a used car? Could it be the uncertainty of not knowing what you're really getting? Bingo! Now I have an answer. Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed with an incredible 7-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. Did the comfort level just go up in here? Thought so. Honda Certified Used Cars. It's the next best thing to new.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage.
Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B's America.
Straight ahead, the Free Speech Zone, where your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Use your free speech rights at 888-5-PETER-B. There is a proposal in the California legislature to legalize marijuana. That's weed for those of you in Humboldt County. We'll talk about that a few minutes from now. And also that special hotline for the well-connected over at the SEC, the back-off Bernie Madoff hotline. Just bizarre. But first, we get an update on ethics in Washington. It'll be brief. Melanie Sloan joins me here.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. Well, she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner.
Melanie Sloan is a former federal prosecutor who is executive director of CREW. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Website, citizensforethics.org. Melanie, how are you?
Good, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay, but Roland Burris is still the junior senator from Illinois today.
Yeah, but not too much longer, I'm thinking.
Yeah?
When was the last time the Senate Ethics Committee, on its own accord, took up a matter to start investigating a senator?
Oh, you've got me.
That doesn't happen too often.
Do we have to go back to the Harrison administration?
Right. Certainly no time in recent memory that nothing that I can recall. And usually they also, even if they do take up something, they spend years and years on it, you know, or a minimum of a year, and then decide that somebody merits a slap on the wrist.
Right.
And the last person they took to task at all was Larry Craig, and that was because, of course, the Senate doesn't think there's anything worse than gay sex.
Yeah.
But this may be the exception that proves the rule. They never wanted Roland Burris anyway, and so now they have their excuse to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And so, lo and behold, there's a reason for the House, for the Senate Ethics Committee to exist.
Now, a week after your call, Dick Durbin, the senior senator from the land of Lincoln, has said he wants Roland Burris to step down. The new governor, Quinn, has called for him to resign. But he doesn't seem to really be listening to his political peers.
No, he doesn't. But, you know, actually, what Senator Durbin said is a little more careful than that. Senator Durbin didn't say Roland Burris should resign. He said if he were Roland Burris, he would resign. But he's not going to tell Roland Burris what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which
now,
is, of course, just like a politician, isn't it? They can't even say what they really mean.
Now,
but he indicated that Roland Burris did not say that he would resign, and Burris has said he's not resigning. He said he's in there for the long haul. Pat Quinn wants him out, and Pat Quinn, now the governor, has said that he wants to do what really everybody needs to do every time there's a Senate vacancy from here on out, have a special election.
Mm-hmm.
We, the people, should decide who the next senator is going to be, and it shouldn't be an appointment that's handed out as a gift.
Yeah. Well, I certainly don't have an objection to that. This was the way it was set up, and it would have required special legislation to go to a special election. That's still possible, and if the seat is vacant, then that would be okay with me. Now, what is your take on my junior senator, Barbara Boxer, who is now the chair of the Senate Ethics Committee? Do you think that she is motivated politically to deal with this problem that's an embarrassment to Democrats, or do you think she'll play it pretty straight?
Oh, no, I don't think the Senate Ethics Committee really ever plays it straight anyway. So I'm sure that she's talked to Harry Reid about what he'd like to see happen here. I'm sure John Cornyn has been a little torn about what he'd like to see happen. You know, this is just sort of a side issue. John Cornyn is head of the National Republican Senate Campaign Committee.
Right.
And so he wants to be able to obviously campaign and get more Republican senators in. And one of the things they're going to campaign on is the corruption of the Democrats. So a little tough for him to also then be on the Senate Ethics Committee because he has kind of a vested interest in what happens there. So does he, A, want to keep Roland Burris in so he has an election issue in 2010 when they when that Senate seat is up? Mm-hmm. Or does he want to get rid of Roland Burris, as every other senator wants to do, because they think he's an embarrassment to the Senate? Mostly, I suspect that he wants to get rid of him. It seems like every senator has really never wanted to accept Roland Burris in the first place. They were afraid not to take him, both because there was a Supreme Court case law saying that the only kind of the only thing a senator could be judged on was whether they met the criteria in the Constitution, whether they met the age and citizenship requirements. And then also there were all the race issues that came up last time. Notice that the Congressional Black Caucus has been incredibly silent during this latest scandal, including Bobby Rush, the Illinois congressman, who, by the way, Barack Obama was once defeated by in a race for a House seat, who was the first person to yell racism when Roland Burris was running into problems with his Senate seat. And none of those people have had anything to say. So Roland Burris has literally no support anywhere. There is no one standing up saying, Roland Burris is my guy, he's being unfairly treated, we want him to stay here. And with that complete lack of political support, he's finished.
Yeah. Well, the chair of the Black Caucus, Barbara Lee, is scheduled, I think, tentatively to be on our show tomorrow. So if it works out, I'll see if I can advance the story for you and see if she'll make a comment on that.
Yeah, well, I'm imagining that given the lack of political support, the Senate Ethics Committee can now investigate whether Mr. Burris, once he was a senator, whether he lied to the House, the Illinois House Impeachment Committee, and whether he told the truth to senators when he talked about what his involvement with Rod Blagojevich had been. And if they find that he lied, I think they could easily find that he engaged in improper conduct that reflects upon the Senate, and they could recommend his expulsion. And then I think it might be well like Bob Packwood, senator from Oregon in the 80s, who stopped resigning when it was clear that they were going to recommend his expulsion over sexual harassment.
Two lines worth quoting here from the story on Burris in The Hill that's up at your website, citizensforethics.org. Ethics committee action resulting in an expulsion vote may be the only way to make the embarrassing fallout of filling Obama's Senate seat go away. But any swift moves by the usually lethargic, self-policing panel would be highly unusual and could lead to even more questions about whether the clubby upper chamber is singling Burris out unfairly. So that kind of sums up where things stand, at least vis-a-vis the Ethics Committee. Next, Melanie, we've been talking today with Bruce Fine, with Colleen Rowley, the former FBI agent, and also Jason Leopold, the reporter you know, about the case of the White House emails. These are the missing emails, millions by some counts, that could tell us about Valerie Plame, could tell us a lot about Karl Rove, the U.S. attorney's politicization of the Justice Department, but they are missing. And the Obama administration, according to news accounts, on day two or day three, about a month ago, sent a clear signal that they don't want to deal with this. They just want it to go away. What's your take on that?
This has been a real disappointment for us at Crew because, obviously, we've had a lawsuit against the administration over the missing White House emails. These are emails missing between 2003 and 2005, right at the beginning of the Iraq War, at the time Valerie Wilson was outed, her covert CIA identity. Very important material, important not just to Crew but to the American public as well. And we thought perhaps with the incoming administration they'd want to settle this case. Why do they want to fight over the missing Bush emails? And we sat down with members of the White House Counsel's Office in the first week after, on the first day of the administration, the new administration filed a motion to dismiss our case, which we found pretty surprising. And we sat down with the White House Counsel's Office and said, hey, let's resolve this. Let's see if we can't come to an agreement, start providing us information. And they sat there with smiles on their face, and then they said basically, well, you know, this would be expensive for us. We want to look forward, not look backward. This isn't really a priority for us. We said, well, you know, we have been winning in federal court. We have a judge on our side. This is going to look bad for you. And they said, basically, well, you go ahead. You file your opposition to our motion, and we'll keep fighting you in court.
Wow. Was this Greg Craig in person?
It wasn't Greg Craig in person. It was much younger, less experienced White House counsels who I think are not so – they may well know law in certain areas, but they weren't so well-versed in how this would float in the public sphere.
Mm-hmm.
First, they're going to lose in court because they've lost in every single time this case has been in court for about 2 years now, and every time it's there that the judge rules in our favor. But even worse than that, I don't see why this administration is going to want the press – that says they're still refusing to produce the missing White House emails and explain why the White House archiving system was so faulty and they don't want to fix it. We are, in fact, very concerned that the new administration might also have a similarly faulty system and they might not be archiving their email as required by the Presidential Records Act. If the White House doesn't want to provide us with assurances that they're fixing this problem, we're going to go in to court very shortly and seek a preliminary injunction asking a court to force them to.
Well, this is another disappointing legal posture taken by the Obama administration that's just too similar to those taken by the Bush administration. Melanie Sloan with us from Crew here on the Peter B. Collins Show. One more story. Jack Murtha, Democratic congressman from Pennsylvania, from Johnstown, and he acts like he built the place. He's a decorated soldier from the Vietnam era, Pentagon's favorite Democrat, number one in defense contractor contributions, number one in contributions from those who benefit from the phony Star Wars program, and it turns out that we've found the best return on an investment because you put money into lobbyists related to Jack Murtha, and your rate of return is 150 to 1.
Right. Well, Peter, now you can hardly be shocked by this because I know that you and I have talked about John Murtha for a very long time.
Yes, we have.
We have been very focused in addition on exactly the PMA group, the former lobbying group that had his offices raided by the FBI. Mm-hmm. And we have been saying for several years that the PMA group's relationship with John Murtha was very questionable, that they routinely made huge contributions to Murtha and his colleagues in direct exchange for earmarks, and that this was probably illegal. And finally, other people are following up on this. The Justice Department has raided PMA Group, and PMA is now shut down. And it looks like John Murtha, who's always been on Crew's most corrupt list for the past 3 years, it looks like we are now the least of his problems. He should be huddling with his lawyers.
Yeah. Well, and he and Charlie Rangel should get legal counsel of the same caliber. Well,
they should. And you know what? It is time for the Democrats to stop supporting these kind of guys. They stay there for ethics and accountability. It is time for them to kick these members to the curb who don't hold up the progressive values of honesty and integrity.
Sure agree. Thank you, Melanie. Keep working. We'll talk to you again next week. Melanie Sloan at Crew, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. The floor is now yours. I'd like to hear your comments on any of the subjects we've been discussing. Also, I'll tell you about the legislation plan to legalize marijuana in California and that hotline at the Securities Exchange Commission where well-connected people can say, hey, back off from that investigation, will you? That's on my agenda. What's on yours? Call me and tell me. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
This is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibration.
Tools for Transformation
is being preempted by sports programming this month.
We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the internet, so tune in. Good Vibration.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Turn the page. need your house and protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Good evening, everybody. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. In King City on Route 25, just north of Old Hernandez Road, a vehicle has gone over the southbound embankment. And on the southbound one, just north of Reservation Road, there's a traffic hazard. There are boxes of pies in the road there. Making our way up to the Hoister-Gilroy area, on the southbound one at Dunn Avenue, a male pedestrian is standing in the number one lane, so look out for him. And on Santa Teresa Boulevard at Willow Springs Road, there are three loose cows eating grass on the right shoulder of the road. In weather, tonight we have a slight chance of rain with temperatures in the low 40s, and Wednesday will be mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and highs around 60 degrees. That's your AM 540 traffic and weather report. Have a fantastic evening, everyone, and stay tuned for more Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
One toll over the line, sweet Jesus. One toll over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station. One toll over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary. Over that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station. One toll.
It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. My lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And there are plenty of things to talk about that we've discussed on the program today. But here in California, a new assemblyman in Sacramento, a guy who came off the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, who I've known for many years, Tom Amiano, and he's a former stand-up comic. But this is not a joke. He's sponsoring a bill to legalize growing, buying, selling, and possessing cannabis in the state of California. Now, it is barred by federal law. There are some issues there. But I think this is an idea whose time has come. Many of our listeners in the north part of the state who listen to KGOE in Eureka are well aware of the marijuana trade in Humboldt County. We've talked about it before on the program. Marijuana is the number one cash crop in Humboldt County and in the entire state of California. And yet, our legal legislative leaders sit around and pretend it doesn't even exist. Oh, it exists as a criminal problem, sure. But it's a huge economic issue. And what Amiano is proposing, that we legalize it and then tax it. And it could raise as much as $1 billion a year in sin taxes here in California. Experts predict that if we did legalize it, that the price would drop and that consumption would increase. This is a study from Betty Yee. And I know Betty. She's chair of the State Board of Equalization. They collect the taxes here in California. They predict that the state would collect about $1.3 billion a year in taxes And that would be a $50 an ounce tax on retail sales of marijuana. And they expect that the price would drop by 50% and consumption would increase by 40%. Now the usual law enforcement people say, no, 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 we can't. But marijuana is not the most critical drug issue or crime issue in California, and we know that. They're using fear tactics to try to scare people into opposing this. And here we have John Lovell, California Peace Officers Association. We've got enough social problems now when people aren't in charge of all five of their senses. The last thing our society needs is more legal intoxicants. And he also said it's a bad idea whose time has not come. Somebody ought to send him back to freshman English. Billy in SoCal, you're on the Peter B. Show.
My friend.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, it's not a question of more. It's a question of better. I'd like to get a lot of the drunks to trade into being pot smokers.
Yeah?
It's a lot easier to drive a car on pot than it is on alcohol.
You're right.
I mean, just, you know. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing fine.
Are you high?
No, not today.
You know, I used to get high even when it was illegal. And the concept, I heard somebody say the silliest thing, as if people were going to start smoking pot if it were made legal who don't already do it. I don't know anybody who that's what keeps them from smoking pot. No. People I know who don't smoke pot don't want to.
Well, there are a few people who have to be, they're subjected to unscheduled testing.
You know, I have a friend who's a DA. He can't do it, you know.
Yeah, so there are some people whose work limits them, and if it were legal, they might indulge occasionally.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I, you know, it's just so hard to have a rational conversation about this because it's been so demonized.
Well, exactly. You see, I'm not done being a second-class citizen yet. You know, I made that choice to smoke pot instead of drink.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I need to know my place in this society. And my place is to run and hide and go to jail because I didn't choose to be a drunk.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really interesting the way you frame that, Billy.
Well, you know, when you've been a second-class citizen as long as I have, you get comfortable.
Well, Michael Phelps has a bong for you, and Bill Maher will invite you to his next party.
Boycott Kellogg's. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Billy. All right, do you think that marijuana should be legalized? Now, what do we need to do to get people to be rational about this? I want to hear your comments. Line's open right now, 888-5-PETER-B. Put the bong down, stop rolling. Call me, 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Do you love KRXA 540? Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Attention all Free Thought Radio lovers. Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor can still be heard every weekend on KRXA 540. Tune in at 5 p.m. Saturdays for Free Thought Radio.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Line's open for you.
This program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco.
Sorry, Eric.
Who may not know it, but they are beautiful, and so is their city. This is a very personal song, so if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA. Then maybe you'll understand the song. It will be worth it, if not for the sake of this song, but for the sake of your own peace of mind.
Lines open for you in the Free Speech Zone, 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
Creates dreams. Walls move. Minds do too. On a warm San Franciscan night.
That's a song that evokes an era.
Old child, young child, feel all right.
Back to the Haight-Ashbury, the summer of love, 1967. And if you came here on the basis of that song, you were surprised that there aren't that many warm San Francisco nights. But when you get one, it's really special. Among our topics today, a proposal from Assemblyman Tom Amiano, a freshman from San Francisco, just joining the legislature in Sacramento. And he is proposing to legalize marijuana. He's got the support of Betty Yee, the chair of the State Board of Equalization, who says it could bring in $1.3 billion a year. And certainly California needs it. And it also would yield cost savings because the CAMP program
which is highly publicized every year, that involves helicopters and uprooting marijuana plants all over the state. That wouldn't be necessary. A lot of people wouldn't be incarcerated. We know that more than half of the inmates in the State Department of Corrections are there for nonviolent offenses, many of them related to drugs like marijuana. And certainly there are other issues that have to be worked out. I don't consider methamphetamine to be as benign as marijuana. And the libertarian in me says, well, you know, you should let people make their own choices. Well, I understand that, but I also think that there is a societal good by trying to limit the abuse of substances, particularly alcohol. And for alcohol to remain legal and marijuana to be proscribed is plain irrational. Can we get rational? Can we really focus on this and get beyond the emotions of law enforcement and others who will use every available technique to scare the bejesus out of people if we legalize pot? Only stoners will be everywhere. I don't know what their slogan will be. Yesterday, Karen called from Sacramento to tell us about a common cause meeting related to a constitutional convention. And I just got a press release conducted by the poll conducted by Celinda Lake and her Lake Research partners on behalf of the Latino Policy Coalition. And they report that there is a big appetite for a citizens' constitutional convention. 59% support the idea, 40% support it strongly, and only 22% are opposed. What are the issues they want to take a look at? Well, they want 86% say they support creating a so-called rainy day fund for the state budget. 76% support creating a sunset commission to review every state agency for cost effectiveness. 73% support setting a mandatory cap on state spending. I don't agree with that, but people are entitled to that opinion. And 73% also support requiring that a mandatory percentage of the state budget be spent on infrastructure improvements. Well, I don't go for that either. It's got to be done on a case-by-case basis. 66% support adopting a two-year budget cycle. 54% want to replace the two-thirds vote requirement to pass a budget that just held us hostage to minority Republicans for 9 months. They want to reduce that to a 55% majority vote requirement. Well, I agree with all those issues, and those are reasonable changes that we could consider. As you heard, I don't agree with the spending cap or the mandatory diversion of funds to infrastructure improvements, but I support the right of people to be heard and to participate in a process like this. So that's what's on my mind. Let me know what's on yours. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Here's Bob up in Humboldt. Hi, Bob. Hi, Bob. Can you hear me?
Hello there.
Hi, Bob. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that the legalization of marijuana in California is an excellent idea. It would assist with the budget, and it would get the marijuana out of the criminal culture like it used to be in the 70s.
You're right.
So it would also benefit personal safety for marijuana users.
Right. You're right about that, Bob. There are a lot of crimes that happen between people in drug deals that go bad, and you can't call the cops to resolve a situation like that.
Now, Ammiano is also a champion of renters' rights, and
that is right.
Getting back to your request for advice to the legislative Republicans.
Oh, yeah, yesterday. Go ahead.
Yes. All the Republicans voted in opposition to renters' rights that Arnold Schwarzenegger signed in the law, and he essentially admonished them for that, creating some possibly difficulties with the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no fiscal cost to the state or the property owners for renters' rights. There's no cost, not 1 cent. And so it would behoove the Republicans in the legislature to open up their eyes to personal responsibility to vote for rights for individuals which they supposedly are in favor of.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't the last time around on renters' rights.
Well, the Republicans will never really support renters' rights because they're landlord types, and they really can't see your point of view there, Bob. But going back to Proposition 13, there was an offset to try to help renters and to be fair to them because the landlords were getting huge tax breaks. And it was an annual tax refund, a refundable credit to individuals who rent. And unfortunately, that was shredded in the past few budget cycles, and it's no longer available or offered. But it is one of the things that was an attempt to address the rights of renters here in the past. Karen in Sacramento, you're back. And tell us about this Citizens Constitutional Convention meeting.
Well, guess who? None other was one of the first speakers there, a guest on your show.
Well, tell me who.
John Garamendi.
Oh, the lieutenant governor. Yeah.
What a progressive man he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he kicked it off, and they talked a lot about instant runoff voting.
Yeah.
So this was a group of people that wanted to just change a plethora of things, as you read off on that poll.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't believe the number of people who showed up. In fact, I couldn't even get in.
Really?
There were supposed to be 200 people to show up, and 400 showed up.
Wow.
And so they couldn't even allow some of us in. And people were fighting to get in, and the press was there. But, yeah, they were talking about instant runoff voting. They were talking about Abel Maldonado and,
mm-hmm.
and whether his, you know, what he was trying to pull would actually help us as citizens.
The open primary.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Stephen Hill had done a report here that I'll send to you talking about 10 steps to repair American economy and how surely Maldonado's solution isn't one of them. And they talked about everything from the environment to the political system to how votes were cast and whether they could get a constitution going. And they cited what Illinois had done, how, you know, they used that as a case study to show how citizens in other states might do the same thing. But it cost like $23 million to have it done.
Mm-hmm. Now, Karen, you know, one of my pet issues is to reopen Proposition 13, and every time I bring it up to Garamendi, he parries it pretty effectively. He'll acknowledge the issue, but he's afraid to touch it. Did anybody bring that up that you know of at the meeting?
No, and that would be a very brave thing to do, I imagine.
Yeah, and what about prison reform? Did anybody talk about reducing the prison population as a way to reduce the huge expenditures there?
They did have somebody there, and I don't know if he was a presenter, but that did come up in some of the literature they gave me. I asked them for a press packet that
mm-hmm.
I could send to you.
Yeah.
And there was mention in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's just obviously one of our ways to do. You know, when I teach, I have students that do research projects for me, and they have found in a few of the prison systems around the nation that these prison systems are learning to be green.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're planting their own gardens and growing their own food. And I just kind of thought I'd throw that out there because that's a way of bringing costs down, but also a way of reintegrating these people back into society. Maybe we can have, you know, Muggsy teaching us all how to build green development in our cities.
Well, the most progressive law enforcement officer I know in the state is the sheriff in San Francisco City and County. His name's Mike Hennessy. He's not only pro-legalization of marijuana, but he also has supported inmate gardens. And in the facility outside the city in San Bruno, where they have some land, there is a group of inmates who are led by an outsider who cultivate vegetables, grow them, and feed organic food to their fellow inmates.
Wow.
It's a win-win situation, and, you know, there's no reason why any prison that has the available land shouldn't be doing something similar.
Oh, that's excellent. They could even start, well, we don't want slave labor, but they could, you know, get some modicum of interaction with society through that way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's really great.
Yeah, yeah, and it gives skills to people so when they get out, they can either, you know, buy and sell vegetables or grow their own.
Yeah, or maybe start weaving their own clothes like Gandhi.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Karen. Well, send any more info along by email that you got there. I appreciate you checking it out for us. And, you know, change is something we need to approach. Even, you know, when people propose things like a spending cap that I don't think is sensible, it shows that they care and that they want to participate in the process. And they also are recognizing that you can't get any meaningful change out of our elected officials as long as they come from gerrymandered districts and raise their money from special interests.
You got it. And if I may just say a few words to memorialize the Doc Fry family.
Uh-huh.
That was a case in which two medical doctors got 5 years in prison.
Yeah.
For dispensing marijuana. And the reason why they started it was because she had cancer, and it was the only way they could find to help her keep food down. And studies are showing that it does have some healing effects on cancer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely is helpful. It's an ameliorator. it eases the pain, and it helps people who've lost their appetite. And so it does have medical purposes, and those who don't want to believe that simply don't want to believe that. Thank you, Karen. Appreciate your call today. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, Becky was on the line from Eureka. Becky, I see your comment on the screen, so if you have time to call me back, I'd like to chat with you about that. You know the number. And if you don't know the number, it's 888-5 Peter B. Give me a call. We'll talk with you next.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In King City on Route 25, just north of Old Hernandez Road, a vehicle has gone off the southbound embankment, and CHP is on the scene. And on the southbound one, just north of Reservation Road, there are boxes of pies in the lane, so watch out there. Making our way to the Hollister-Gilmer area, on the northbound 101 at East End Avenue, there's some pedestrians in the center divide. In weather, it's partly cloudy out with temperatures in the low 50s. Tonight, we're expecting more clouds and temperatures to drop into the low 40s. Wednesday will be mostly cloudy with a slight chance of rain and highs around 60 degrees. Right now in Monterey, it's 54 degrees, Salinas is 57 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 59 degrees. Well, that's your AM 540 traffic and weather. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
The following is a public service message from this station and calltorecycle.org. Chances are you already recycle paper, glass, and plastic, but it's just as important to recycle old rechargeable batteries. They're the kind you find in power tools, cell and cordless phones, laptops, and other cordless electronics. It's easy and it's free. To learn more, call toll-free 877-2-RECYCLE or visit us online at calltorecycle.org. Just remember, if it's rechargeable, it's recyclable.
Finally, a new talk show on KRXA that we can all use. Sundays 11 to 12, listen to Fix It Up, an hour-long call-in talk show with contractor Bruce Pippin and electrician Marie. With years of experience and lots of humor, they'll answer all your questions, from how to fix your leaky faucet to finding the right contractor. You'll find simple, easy solutions to all kinds of things that can break down in your home. Fix It Up with Bruce and Marie, Sundays 11 to 12. Email in your questions or call in. Only on AM 540 KRXA. Fix It Up.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the home stretch here.
The heart is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room. No space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. And the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck. You're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
And for members of our far-flung audience who are hunkered down in a winter storm or under 4 feet of snow, don't take this personally. But we're in between rainstorm fronts here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Got up to 75 degrees, blue skies today. Ow. That's why I live here. Triple 855 Peter B. If you'd like to join the conversation, we've got some topics out there, or you can make up one of your own. Here's Gene in Salinas listening on the mighty KRXA 540. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Peter. I've called in a lot of times, and I'm sorry I didn't use my real name today or my real city, but it's too touchy of a subject.
Fine.
Peter, you know, I really thought that in my lifetime I would see marijuana legalized, and I'm 57, getting ready to be 58, and geez, I've been waiting a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know if I'll ever see it. I just don't know if I'll see it in my lifetime, but it's long overdue.
Well, it's not as important a human right as same-sex marriage.
No.
But it's a matter of putting things in a rational order. And ever since the 60s and the overreaction by people like Reagan and S.I. Hayakawa to the challenge that they got from the hippies and the war protesters, we've had this, you know, crackdown mentality, and we spend billions of dollars every year on propaganda, on law enforcement, the DEA, and local and state officials. We waste a lot of money locking people up over marijuana, and because it's criminal, only criminals smoke pot, and it leads them to commit other crimes because they figure if they're living outside the law by rolling a joint and smoking it, that, hey, you know, I may as well carry a gun. I may as well rob a bank, you know. And so we've got to put it into perspective. It is not dangerous. It's not the gateway drug that uninformed, ignorant people want to make it out to be. And it simply really is something that we need to grapple with and come to terms with. I don't expect it to happen anytime soon, but I'm pleased that Tom Amiano has the courage to introduce a bill and to really make it an economic discussion in this case, to show that, you know, instead of cutting funds for transit, cutting funds for the mentally ill, and cutting funds for health care for children, that we could be funding some of those programs if we just got rational about pot.
Can you imagine all of the uses that we could put marijuana to if it was legalized here in California? All of the clothing and the rope and the oil.
Well, you know what? Hemp could be legalized even without smokable pot, without cannabis being legalized. That's just a superstition.
But that's the reason why in the rest of the United States why they say that's another reason why that's another log on the fire why they say they won't legalize marijuana is because they're afraid that people will smoke it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, in Nebraska, it's called Nebraska Nohi.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called because it grows everywhere.
Yeah.
And
well, in my misspent youth, I went to Iowa one summer, and there was hemp just growing wild along the county roads, the back roads.
Iowa
and
Nohi.
My friend and I tried to smoke it, and nothing happened.
Oh, you got the headache?
Well, and we smelled bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, my experience with tobacco was quite similar. I remember this came up the other day because I heard some music by Susan Tedeschi,
And I had a boyhood pal named Tommy Tedeschi. He spelled his name the same way, but went soft on the pronunciation. And I remember in the seventh grade, I stole some L&Ms from my mom's drawer and went out on a bike ride with Tommy. And we lit up three or four cigarettes, and we choked, we coughed, we gasped for air. We smelled bad, and then we had to destroy the evidence. And that's not much different from smoking hemp, in my view.
Well, Peter B., I want to tell you something before I get off the phone, okay?
All right. Yeah.
I have, in my lifetime, I told you how old I was.
Mm-hmm.
And in my lifetime, I have used this drug since I was 21 years old.
Okay.
Okay? And in my lifetime, I have used this drug for various purposes, one of which was a very important monetary use in order to get someone into college, into their freshman year, to spend it in the dormitory because I didn't have enough money to get them in.
Mm-hmm.
So
you put your kid through college selling pot?
No, not actually all the way through college, just
uh-huh.
for that one thing.
Okay.
But it's not a gateway drug. You know, I've never used any other drugs except that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably never will. It does ease my pain. I'm disabled. I have quite a few things wrong with me. But there was a time when I didn't, before I was injured, when I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just silly the way it's treated. I wish they didn't, and I think the only way it'll get legalized is if it ever goes up on a petition. What do you call those things?
A ballot measure, an initiative?
An initiative, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way that it'll be done, because I think the people in Sacramento are too afraid.
Well, I think Amiano is leading a charge here. It'll help educate people, and maybe 5-10 years down the road, we can have a ballot measure and a more reasonable discussion. It'll never be rational, but we could try to prevail. And I would like to see that happen in your lifetime, Gene.
Well, thank you very much for talking about it, Peter. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call today. Thanks for everybody who called and tuned in. And before I go, I'd like to instruct you to do some homework. Go to truthout.org and read the story by Matt Renner, my former producer. Used to work, he was recruited by Jason Leopold to Truthout a couple of years ago. And he has broken an important story that at the Securities and Exchange Commission, there was a hotline for well-heeled campaign contributors and other corporate insiders. And when investigations got too close to them, they called the hotline. Said, hey, remember me? We'd like you to back off. And they did. Check that out. We'll talk about it in the future. Thanks for joining me today on the Peter B. Collins Show. Podcasts available.
Happy trails to you.
Just log on to peterbcollins.com. My thanks to Nick Tanham and Rocky the Wonder Dog for a great show today.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems with your email? Or when you go to the internet, is your browser taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you with computer problems you can't fix. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it, speeding it back up, making sure you can send and receive emails, and making the internet fun again. You'll speak to a U.S.-based technician who knows what they're doing, who can usually fix your computer on the very first call. If your computer's been slowing down, you can't get your email to work, your internet's taking forever, or if you're not sure what's wrong, but your computer's just not working the way you want it, call My Computer Works, and we'll help you fast.
Call My Computer Works right now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. Tell them Peter B. sent you, 888-629-9618. One more time, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Members of Congress, the Cabinet, and the Supreme Court are assembled on Capitol Hill to hear President Obama deliver a major address focused on the troubled economy. After years of reckless spending, he'll say the day of reckoning has arrived, but he'll also talk optimistically about the future. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
In a speech designed to inspire the American spirit, the president will say that while our economy may be weakened and our confidence shaken, we will rebuild, we will recover, and the United States of America will emerge stronger than before. The president will claim his economic stimulus plan is already creating jobs and will try to convince a skeptical public that bailing out banks will help ordinary consumers. With today's news that home prices in the fourth quarter of 2008 plummeted at the worst rate on record, nearly 20% from a year ago, he'll argue that helping homeowners who are facing foreclosure helps everyone.
Republicans are still fighting the economic stimulus package, and House Minority Leader John Boehner predicts many citizens will join them.
I think as this plan begins to unfold and people begin to see how some of this money is going to be spent, they're going to be as upset as we were.
In the GOP response tonight, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal will call the stimulus irresponsible. After days of decline, a nice rally on Wall Street today. The Dow jumped 236 points to close at 7350. Hugh Johnson of Johnson Illington Advisors credits bargain hunting.
The principal reason for the optimism is that stocks were at a level that were arguably undervalued, but also Chairman Bernanke in his semiannual testimony to Congress made some comments that were fairly upbeat.
Bernanke says the recession could end later this year if the financial system can be stabilized to the point that credit starts flowing again. During the campaign, Mr. Obama said he'd withdraw combat troops from Iraq within 16 months. After consultations with commanders, that's been tweaked a bit. The president's expected to announce soon that all combat forces will be out within 18 months. Retired.